want to participate in a Don and Mike Show contest? How about this? You or a member of your household can only win once for 60 days. You must comply with any age limitations for each contest. For complete contest rules, send a self-addressed stamp envelope to the mighty WJFK, P.O. Box 3649, Washington, D.C., 20007. Thank you, and God bless.
Everybody loves Don and Mike.
Damn straight.
That's right.
Howdy, y'all.
Hello.
Hello.
How are you?
Shh. We're quoting Paul Berry.
Yeah.
Shh. Guy was an auctioneer last night at a charity event we went to.
Fabulous right. Auction.
And people were not listening. And he just would go, shh.
I've done a lot of auctions. I have done a lot of auctions in my day. Yeah. I went to school last night.
He's good.
On how to do an auction of the... It's Paul Berry.
Yep.
Controlled the room.
Agreed.
In a way that only a professional broadcaster can.
Love that guy.
There was a moment, though. You know, and I've done plenty of those auctions, too. There was a moment when the guy that was sitting at the table directly to the right of us,
Paul has so much more class than we do.
When the guy is some guy, we're at a cancer society an auction deal.
Fundraiser dinner.
And they're auctioning off plane tickets or something like this, and whatever the...
It was dinner at the Palm, and I think a caricature.
And whatever the fabulous prize is, you know, and you're right, in this case, it's your face on the wall and dinner. Anyway, he says something like, let's start the bidding at X amount of dollars. And the jerk at this table next to us screams,
hey, Paul, how about two for the price of one?
How about you both getting, they're both bidding $2,500. Why don't you give two away for $2,500? And, you know, he's not offering anything. And you and I both immediately jumped on the guy.
Shut up.
Yeah.
Shut up. How about you buy both of them?
That's what I would have done. I said, what are you going to bid, hump? What are you going to bet? But Paul Berry managed to get
under control.
He was totally under control. He managed to get two people to bid.
Imagine this: you're at a function. It's a real, you know, we had ties on yesterday.
All guys,
yeah. All men, all wearing power ties,
eating beef.
Guys, nobody really listening, and poor Paul Berry having to.
He knew the room like nobody knows. I think this was his fourth or fifth year.
It shows.
And really, I have done a lot of auctions, and I always thought I was pretty good at it.
Mm-hmm.
He's good at it.
Yeah.
He knows how to deal with those, you know, talking businessmen, just how to get them in control and really get the most out of them as possibly can.
My only advice is, and I'm not an expert, but I've done a lot of them, too.
You've done a lot of them.
I think I'm good at it because... It's the one time when you can be, especially if you're doing something for charity.
Right.
You can be openly cruel to people.
Sure.
I'll tell you the best auction moments I've ever had are where I was at an auction for my church. And there would be an item that would be up for whatever. And I would actually go around the room and say to people, is God shining on your heart today? I think God really wants you to bid on this item.
Yeah, you can do that.
Now. Yeah, I did do that, yeah. And got a lot of great bids.
Sure.
I would do the same thing at my kid's school if people weren't bidding on it.
You ever follow Terry Bradshaw doing an auction?
Well, no, you're the only one that's had that privilege, Mike.
I'm fresh off. See, my confidence is low because I'm fresh off one where my confidence was shattered because everybody told me that Terry Bradshaw did such a good job.
Well, he was fantastic.
That's what I hear. Rob sits down last night because it's an auction.
I didn't even see it, but I heard he was fantastic.
The first thing Rob says to me is, hey, I hear Terry Bradshaw does a great job at one of these. And I, you know, right in the middle of the dining room, I flip Rob off. But we had a good time in our suits.
We did. But don't forget the guy who had to tell us that he gave his door prize back last year.
Yeah, and this is
the other guy
that I would just told to shove it. At the end of the evening, they give away a watch or something, and it's a random door prize.
Right.
They just pull out a number or a name, and if you're there, you win. And before they give away the big random prize, after everybody's already donated money and everything,
right. The
guy that won it last year stands up uninvited and says, attention, everybody, I'm the guy that won the watch last year, and I just want you all to know that I... turned around and donated it right back, and we auctioned it off right afterwards. And like four people went...
and everybody else grumbled and booed.
Like, oh, there was actually some booing. Yeah. And that's when Paul Berry again had to go, shh.
And we were
did the guy that won the watch donate it back?
No.
I don't blame him.
No, he didn't. He came up, he took the guy on the microphone, and he said, it's my watch. Thank you. Good night.
Like a Super Bowl trophy. I'm keeping it.
Yeah, that's what he said.
Was it a nice watch?
It was a
very nice watch. Very nice watch.
And the funny thing is last night, our table particularly, were clapping at everything.
Oh,
And yelling.
And yelling a lot.
Yeah,
Paul Berry.
Not obnoxious, just enthusiastic.
There's a lot of yelling going on last night at the...
We didn't clap for him.
At the Palm restaurant. And he's no homo. Mr. Tommy Giacomo, who's the manager, the president of the Palm restaurant, Washington, D.C.
No, but I put my lips on him more than any other man in the history of my life.
He's no homo, but boy, he sure does love to kiss.
He's Italian.
Buzz, not just in that Italian way.
Really? He kissed me, and I kissed him back.
Tongue?
And I think, lips might have touched.
Ah.
I think.
It was really like a quickie kiss, and I, you know, and all of a sudden, it was like, I don't know. It happened so quickly, and then he made some kind of joke about a breath mint.
Oh, my.
As I was walking away. You know what it is?
I just got the Italian thing, you know, one cheek.
Well, no, that's what I did, I think. But, I mean, it was because he went.
What, did you turn your mouth into him?
I opened mouth.
That's what it was.
Lips parted. No, I'm not sure how. Now, are you going to talk about Buzz?
We have to start the show. But I just want to mention that before the show.
Hey, now.
Mike mentioned to me in passing. While saying that you are definitely the most physically fit of all of us.
Right. Yeah, I was noticed. Buzz came into the office.
He said,
show, and I know, and we all noticed how physically fit he is. Comes in and he does like a Jack LaLanne pose.
What a fag you are.
Oh, did I?
Listen to this comment from this queer guy.
I said Buzz has no butt. And I check out Buzz's butt every day of the week.
And I said,
thinnest of all those, but he has no butt.
I said, homo says what? And Mike said, don't really. Buzz has no butt. I said, I have
Buzz
not
has
looked.
A very tiny butt.
I've not looked. I've not spent the hours that you spent.
Yours is very round and very thick.
You are very gay.
And mine is, I'm not sure. I don't have much of one either. I don't have much of a butt. But Buzz has the smallest butt on the show. And I've really never looked at Rob's. Let me see.
Oh, Robbie?
I don't know. Rob's is kind of there.
Can you rate it? Give it a letter grade.
Mm. I think Don has the best one on the show.
But you're evading my letter grade.
Mm-hmm. I'll give you a B.
Thanks.
What is Buzz's then?
D.
Buzz's
really?
D.
That bad?
Maybe
if I adjusted my pants.
Yeah. I think that might have something to do with it.
I think that's
it. But you're in the best shape of the show, and I just mentioned that you don't have a butt.
Oh, just
Don and... You know, suddenly guffaws of laughter. Homosexuality.
Don't pull your pants up, Buzz. Now all you're doing is just humoring him. Now you're just keeping this gay dialogue going.
You kind of wear these low riders, and it hangs off your butt.
Sometimes after I sit down,
right.
You know.
I've never noticed, Buzz.
Well, you should.
I haven't either, but. You know,
boy, have I!
Wouldn't kill you to buy something that cupped you a little better.
Don and Mike.
Hey now.
Okay. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe.
Am I? You wear it well.
Thank you.
Hello.
Hi, Julia. Hi, honey. Oh, where's the guy?
Oh,
there
they are. I'm not comfortable with them.
Hold on a second.
You can call Don and Mike Nazi, their true enemy.
Same problem.
Himself.
Same problem.
A man of faith, a man of hate, and a soul torn apart. Viewer discretion advised.
Right. Machine number six.
You know who has a great butt?
Who?
Terry Bradshaw.
Oh.
I'm kidding, of course. Hey,
don't flip them off.
That's what I did. I was just recreating the night of the palm.
From last night.
The difference is we're not in time.
Hey!
And good afternoon, Mr. and Mrs. Cirque du Soleil and all the ships at sea. And now, let me introduce you, Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Yeah. Hi.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening, everybody. Don and Mike Show. A new episode on this Tuesday.
Tuesday 06-15-04.
Hi, Don and Mike. Buzz Burbank here.
Howdy, Buzz. And I think we had... There you go. Don and Mike Show, June 15, 20-04. Call us from anywhere in America at 877-365-3636. From Canada, call 800-636-1067. And Washington, D.C. on WJFK-FM, call 202-432-1067. Let's take a call. An affiliate of the day already.
Wow.
Here's Stan from Las Vegas, where we're heard daily on KSFN. Why are they the affiliate of the day?
Because they have dead air. And they've been off the air for the last 4 hours.
There you go.
I don't know who's running the board, but they're out of touch.
I wonder if they know.
That's got to be more than just a board operator error if the station's been off the air for 4 hours.
Major technical malfunction.
All right, thanks. Hey, listen, have you tried calling the station?
No. I'm busy working.
Although, you know what? You really shouldn't, because think back to the times over the years when we've been knocked off the air because of a power outage, and we get mad at people when they call and say, do you know you're off the air?
Yeah, right. And nothing worse. Nothing more aggravating. But I'd love to know.
Yeah, call them.
I'd love to know what the answer is. We're not going to call them.
No, so...
Okay, well, I just wanted... I figured they were too busy trying to figure out what their problem was, and rather than bother them, I just let them occupy the time with...
Bother them. Probably the lead hamster, the power source, probably.
They've been on for 4 hours, you say, sir? 4 hours?
Yep.
Wendell.
You sure they weren't?
Winner!
Was it 4 hours of total dead air?
Yeah. Well,
are you sure it wasn't the Ima show?
No, actually, it was the Hendry show. It started and it disappeared, and then it's been dead air all day.
Gotcha. All right, we'll look into it. First thing, we get a chance.
All right. Hey, can I apologize for the last time I called in?
No.
Better
if you know.
Let's not remember why it is that you have to apologize.
No need to go backwards, sir.
Oh, good act. Yes. Always surge forward. It doesn't matter where you start.
Okay.
It's always where you finish.
All right. Come on now. Stop it.
Eject.
Bye.
There you go.
Bye.
There you go, Maverick.
Boy, that was almost overstaying a welcome.
Yeah.
Eject. Almost. EJ.
All right.
Let me tell you about my wife. This crazy gal of mine.
Frida, your wife?
Frida, my wife. Thank you, Rob. Thank you. And, great news. We're not going to Germany, but we are going to the ocean together, our families, during vacation.
Isn't that lovely?
We're going with the Spiwax.
That's wonderful.
All the kids and everybody. Yeah. So there's been a nonstop conversation back and forth between the homes. And during one of the calls today, when I was speaking with Rob about something show related, Frida said, I have a message. Give Rob the telephone. Put Rob on the phone. So I give the phone to Rob, and all she wants to do is pass a message to Rob's wife, Carrie.
Right.
So it ends up that I guess Rob doesn't even say anything to my wife. Just the next thing you know, his wife is on. He just holds out the phone. And in the midst of all of this, I'm trying to tell Frida she's not managing her time correctly. Now, she has asked for my help.
Oh, okay.
She has asked, she's asked for anybody's help. Mm-hmm. My wife, listen, I love her more than anything, but she's always nuts.
Right.
And she's very much into being physically fit and mentally fit and in touch with all of that bull crap you're supposed to be
in touch with spirituality.
You know, she meditates. Mm-hmm. I sleep. She meditates. Whatever it is she's doing.
You also do a little drinking.
Mainly alone.
There you go.
Alone.
That helps.
So, anyway, here's my point on this, that she's, in her mind, unorganized. One of the few traits that I do have, one of the few positives that I do have, I'm organized. I'm a very organized person. So she said she was thinking about wasting money hiring a personal coach.
What?
Yeah, that's what I said.
Like a trainer?
No, not a trainer. Had nothing
personal
to do.
Coach for physical fitness?
No.
Guy with a whistle.
No, personal coach.
Like a life coach?
Yeah.
One of those life coaches?
Like,
one of those L.A. Malibu life crap coaches?
Here's the coach that I wanted, okay?
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two. Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on.
Right.
Mike wants the defense to do well. And Sean, he's going to have a few, no disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays.
None taken, Bill.
Okay? Surprise things.
No offense to anyone.
No disrespect to anyone.
Anyway, thank you, Coach.
There you go. That's the coach you want.
So anyway, this is the thing that she had talked about with one of our other crazy ladies on the street that's into this stuff. And she had mentioned it, and she never followed up on it. But I said to her over the weekend, I said, now what, seriously, with no offense to all of you out there that are into this mumbo jumbo, I said, why would you pay some new age guru like to tell you, okay, here's what you have to do today. You're going to work, and then you're going to go to your art class, and then you're going to pay bills tomorrow. You're not going to worry about the bills today. You'll pay them tomorrow because you have things to do tomorrow. So we've been operating under this plan for the last 3 or 4 days, and frankly, it's gone pretty well.
Good.
It's gone pretty well.
Isn't a life coach like a manager?
Yeah.
Kind of.
She gets overwhelmed by things, and she just needs someone to say, you know, it's like I was telling you a couple of weeks ago, really. I mean this. With a woman can tell you what the problem is. Here's the problem with the communication. Then a guy figures out the answer, like, in 5 seconds, and what you want to just say is, okay, I figured it out. Shut up. Right. But you have to listen to the 20-minute story of the problem.
Yeah, it's rude to say shut up.
Yeah, I know it is. Thanks, Buzz. Yeah.
And that's why I try not to.
Yeah, me too.
It's not that rude to say shada.
Those are bad words in my house.
Less rude.
So anyway.
S-H-U-D-D-U-P.
Here's the point that I'm getting to. She made a move without consulting me. And this is a move that I am totally opposed to.
Oh, dear.
For years, we've lived in the same house for over 10 years. We have three dogs and a cat.
Mm-hmm.
The three dogs live downstairs. The cat lives upstairs. The cat's litter box, upstairs.
Mm-hmm.
All the cat's stuff, upstairs. The right. Food, the water, everything.
Right. Sneakers, underwear.
Everything. Right, mm-hmm. Mike, everything. All of
the cat's stuff.
All of his Stuart little toys.
TV.
Are upstairs.
Private airplane.
So here's the thing. Now, keep in mind that the cat lives on the third floor of the house, up on our top floor, because the German Shepherd lives 24/7 to sit at the base of the stairs with the chance that he'll see the cat. Not that he's going to attack.
How long does which dog sits at the base of the stairs?
The German Shepherd.
And does the German Shepherd want to kill the cat?
We think so, but we've never really had them close enough for him to actually.
Because it's that bad?
Well, he wants to play with the cat, but he's a German Shepherd.
Right.
And he's just got this thing where he's constantly on sentry duty. So, mm-hmm. Here's what my wife does. She's mad that the cat. Who is, you know, Buzz, you're a cat person.
Yeah.
The cat is mad at us for a variety of reasons.
They get that way.
The cat has been crapping everywhere.
Oh, dear.
The cat never crapped in its litter box upstairs by the laundry room. So what my wife did, without asking me, the new age guru coach, she took the cat's litter box, food, and water, and put them in the basement. And I said, now the cat's just going to crap everywhere and go number one everywhere in the house because... The cat's never going to be able to get downstairs mm-hmm. to get to where the stuff is because the dog is always like on guard duty down there.
Yeah, but cats do everything in the house anyway. The cats don't respect the litter box.
No, they do.
That's generally not true.
Well,
yes,
the ones that I had two cats once in my life. I finally broke my rule and they crapped everywhere.
Well, they sensed you didn't like them.
You're darn right they did.
Well, I don't doubt that our cat doesn't like us.
Uh-huh.
I don't doubt that. And I think that it's pissing the cat off even more that now Mommy has taken the food and the water and the box and put it all the way downstairs.
They don't like change.
So what?
Mike, I know you're not a cat person.
Take the cat. Tell the cat. The cat gets to live down with the other cats.
Here's the thing with...
In the YMCA for cats.
Here's the thing with Zsa. She loves... Zsa Frida, she loves our animals,
uh-huh.
but she doesn't love the fact that they crap in the house.
Sure.
Well,
right?
Who can blame her?
Right. Well, that's part of the deal when you have animals, is that they crap in your house.
Oh, when I had cats, I had a one-strike rule.
Where's she at?
Hello.
Hi, honey.
Hi, sweetie.
So what are you doing?
What? Well, nothing. I was just... What? You're my coach. You're not my keeper.
Okay. All right. Listen, about the cat.
Yes.
I told you this morning. That's an awful move.
What is this? I didn't ask you. I mean, I forgot to define the parameters of my coach. You're to encourage me and to help me get organized.
Yes.
Don't ask for permission on simple little household things.
But as it turns out, I think it's a major mistake to move the cat downstairs. I really do.
Well,
you know, you ask my opinion.
Well, why not?
Why not? How is the cat going to get downstairs?
The cat goes up and down all the time.
Do you know why you work this out? I would be more than willing to take the cat for a couple of days.
No. Mike would kill the cat.
You know who I would give the... Why don't we let Buzz be the coach of the cat? And why don't we let the cat go to Buzz's house for some, some training?
I'm already full up with two.
This is something that you try to pull on Buzz and Marcia every time we see them. Every
you
time...
To unload, are you, is Frida trying to unload your cat on Buzz?
Not to you, Mike. Not to a torture kingdom.
Every time we get together with Buzz and Marcia.
That is not true. There would be no torture. It would be very quick.
But yeah. if you put the cat at Buzz's house, how long would it be before he had that cat up on a ladder?
Little broken paw.
No.
Little broken arm like Marcia.
No. That would be adopted as one of the Burbank children, and the cat's name would be signed to future cards. It would be a happy.
What is your cat's name?
Furball.
Furball.
Furball. I don't think that's a smart move. I really think the cat, I think now more than ever, is going to revolt and is going to crap and go number one all over the place.
Well, we'll just, if it's in the basement, I don't care so much.
But see, how does the cat, explain this to me. 10 years the cat's been trained to go to the same place in the house.
I'll tell you, cats aren't trained.
So you're saying that the last 10 years mean nothing, and the fact that you took the cat down today to the basement and said, okay, kitty, this is now where you're going to do your business, that's it, it works?
Don't you remember, we've taken the cat on vacation and shown it the cat box, and it used it.
I don't remember that.
Well, we did. We took her to the...
Well, place. Maybe so, but even having said that...
Isn't there some method of behavior modification that you could use with the cat?
No. Mike, you just want to...
Surgery?
You want to kill the cat? You want to save the cat?
I really do not. You know, I know I make jokes about the fact that I want to kill the cat, but I really do believe, you know, this is a cat, and you should not have your life turned upside down, and I think with the proper amount of motivation... Well, the cat could probably go wherever you wanted.
Listen, here's the first lesson, darling.
Including the toilet.
Bud would take it rather than let it fall into Mike's hands.
I'd love to. I just
like
don't
Mr.
have
Mr. Jinx, the toilet should go.
But if you knew if it was going to Mike.
I know. I know. It's a tough decision.
You
because
wouldn't let that happen.
My cats would then revolt, and then I'd have problems.
You know, really, frankly, I couldn't if I wanted to.
Why didn't you just leave the cat where he was?
I'm not allowed to have pets in my rental house.
Why didn't you just leave him? Why didn't you just leave him where he was?
Because I didn't like poop.
Okay, but there will still be cat poop, and there will be those awful fur balls that they have, and those things that he gets that they look like poop, and they're kind of pepperoni colored, and you go down there, and they're not really poop. They're kind of like half hairball, half like Play-Doh that the cat got.
Ah,
I know.
Nasty.
Have you ever stepped on one of those in a dark closet?
Yes, I have. Bare feet on. It's awful.
Cold and
filthy,
squishy.
Filthy animal. It's the absolute worst. Well, honey, I think that's a bad mistake.
Well, we're trying. Until, Coach, you can come up with a better plan.
I'm just very sorry that there are no pets allowed in my assisted living center.
I just wish that you would resolve yourself to the fact that these animals will crap at our house no matter what we do.
Nope.
No matter how many barriers you put up. You know what you got now? You remember those things you had when your kids were little? Those gates?
Baby gates?
Right. Yes, we now.
Yeah, I had them all over the house.
We're going to get a dog door. I'm going to lick this problem.
You're
going to
get a dog. Hold on. You're going to get a dog door. And I love my dog, but let me just say this. You get a dog door for three dogs that are so freaking dumb. You open up the sliding glass door, they don't walk through until you walk through first.
No.
You think they're going to understand a hole in our door, like a my three sons hole in the door that they're all supposed to flap through?
We have to train them. You have to help me. You cannot tear down plans. You have to help plan it.
Make the plan better.
We should not be focusing on the animals.
What
the animals are fine.
What does the coach say?
Yeah, the coach is just a big negative. The coach is...
No!
You're not positive. You're not helping me.
I'm positive. You're wasting time worrying about the cats. I'm the coach.
I thought she was getting a coach.
No, I'm the coach. I talked her out of that.
Oh, so you're the coach?
Yes, I don't want her to waste money on some new age nut.
But yeah, I want someone encouraging, not just...
Honey, now hold on. In real life, have I been encouraging? Yes, haven't I? Come on.
Not about the cat.
No, not about the cat. No, because it's a bad mistake. I'd say that to you. I'm saying that to you now.
But
let me take off my coach.
Plan.
What?
See, it's easy for you to tear down unless you have a better plan.
Here's the plan. If the cat takes a crap, we'll clean it up. If the dog takes a crap, we'll clean it up.
Yeah, but I end up cleaning it up. And the you know, I do most of that.
Yeah?
Right, and I don't like it.
Right, well, okay. You know, when life gives you lemons, honey, you know, have some lemonade.
That's coach talk right
there. You go.
That's big coach talk right there.
Turn that frown upside down.
There's positive.
You can't spell positive without pus.
There you go.
Or no, there's no U in positive. I'm sorry.
Right.
And you can't spell funeral without fun.
That's right.
Darling, did you watch that show that you like so bad before that Lover Money show?
I did. I guess I've watched both of the episodes or the, you know, series before this one, and I've just gotten into this one.
What is it?
Because it's the show for Love or Money. Remember the tool bachelor that we had on?
Right, right.
Okay, well, today we're having on one of these harem girls that he's selecting.
Who knew which one? You don't know which one for sure.
It's Rachel. That's
the one they all can't stand.
Why?
All right.
Why can't they stand her?
Because they think she's just a gold digger. And what she doesn't know, because she can't see. See, in this episode, the girls don't know if they're, you know, really vying for the love or the $1 million because they've given each of them a check with different amounts on them.
Hey, honey, let me just ask you a question.
Mm-hmm.
We had the guy on last week, the show for Love or Money.
Yeah.
Do you understand the format?
Yeah.
Can you, you're a bright woman.
Yeah.
Can you explain it to us? Like in a sentence or two or a paragraph, give us an explanation of how that game works.
Sure, but let me say this. They'll change it midway. So the way it works, the way it's set up, if they, you know.
Well, I know. How's it working right now? Not how it's worked in previous seasons.
Okay, or if they change it next week, right.
But how was it last night?
How is it now is that each of the girls has a check. And the guy, and they're, but they're each buying for the love of the guy. And each week the guy, you know, weeds out a girl he doesn't want. He throws one back.
And that's the same dumb guy that we had on the show last week. We were not impressed with him.
Right.
Winner at the end gets to choose between her check and the guy. But what the girl doesn't know this season is how much her check is for. Like the Rachel, the one that nobody likes because they think she's a gold digger just in it for the money.
Right.
She doesn't know her check's only worth a dollar.
Now, here's the deal. At the end, so do they have to choose between the check and the guy without knowing the amount?
I'm not clear. I think they have to choose, and then they get to find out if they
Maybe we can ask Rachel that when we
have that'll be a good question. Can you explain this show to us? So you think, just because we didn't watch it, Is she the one? Is she bitchy? Is she the...
She's the one. This week, what they did was they all had to decide who was the one who was the sweetest or in it for love, and who was the one who was in it for money. And all of the other girls unanimously chose Rachel. As being the one in it for money.
Is Rachel on the show still?
Yeah.
She didn't get kicked off.
The guy really likes her.
So...
The guy thinks she's super. But the girls all know that she's just in it for the money.
Is she more handsome than the other girls?
No, not by a long time. And the guy knows he likes her so much, he knows she only has a dollar. The guy knows each of the checks on the women.
Hold on. So the dumb guy that we had on knows that the girl that we're going to have on today, the one that he likes only... So if he picks her, he only gets a dollar?
If he gets any money out of it, it won't be because the girl he has a romance with.
So he's really doing it for love.
Yeah, he really likes
her. Well, then we're going to have to talk her out of it because
we don't. Yeah,
she's
we don't
already
know,
decided.
We don't know her. She's a he's a tool.
But isn't it all?
It's all done.
It's all done.
She couldn't talk to you if it weren't all done.
See, the show's over. It's in the can.
The things have already happened.
So she knows she has a dollar.
Right. But hold on. If it's already in the can, she knows she has the dollar. Now follow with me for a second. The secret isn't out, though. She might still be the winner, right? He might still select her.
We don't know. But
we don't
know.
And she can't tell us. She might be the winner.
Okay. Mm. All right.
She might have, like,
I follow you.
Been picked by him, and
like on
even
any...
though she only had a dollar, and then they came in at the last second and gave them both $1 million.
We'll try to trick her.
I got you. Like any of the reality shows that are taped. Look, we had Evan Marion.
Right.
Why isn't I remember his name?
But the thing is, like, certain shows, like Survivor, they can have them on, and they can, but you know what's going on because they have the live episode at the end of the season.
Right.
This has already been taped.
All right. Hmm. What's the worst thing about this lady? We should ask her. I think we're going to have her on like in 20 minutes.
She had a comment. They were at the table talking about just the girls talking about not having alone time. And she made a comment that I think they had to bleep out of that. Yeah, she really didn't have alone time. She didn't even have time to satisfy herself she made a reference to pleasuring herself, at which the other girls got in a big snit and told her she would.
Oh, that's icky.
Yeah.
No. That's cutie.
You know, it sounds
away from the dinner table.
Cutie.
It sounds like this Rachel is kind of honest.
Yeah, it does sound like that. But they think she just went over the line. They were joking about herbal supplements for sexual, to heighten your sexuality. And then she had to throw in the gross thing. So they all got turned off by her.
Oh, gross.
All right, I got it. All right, well, thank you for that update. I know you watched that show. You don't like
a roundabout way, I kind of like Rachel now, especially if, like, all the other girls don't like her.
Yeah.
The guy likes her.
Well, then, let me ask you this. We had the guy on the show. We've only seen his picture. We thought he was just... the loser of all losers.
You know, what a mallet. Yeah. He thought we were old.
How did he come off on the show? Thank you, Buzz, for crystallizing it.
Yeah, I'd go with Rachel. I mean, I'd take the money. Although she thinks she might be falling for him. So maybe she's not as much a gold digger as the other girls made her out. Mm. And I don't get it.
I was reading an article about the guy that he dated in high school. He dated like...
the guy he dated?
He never took the same girl out on a date twice. Mm. You know, he's one of these...
Oh, that? So it's his story that he only...
Yeah, just a real Nimrod.
He's not a bit tempting to me. I'd rather be with Evan Marriott.
Honey, you want some cat advice?
What?
Hold on. I just see people calling with cat. Teresa.
Yes.
Hi, Teresa.
Hi.
Hey, you're on the air.
Hi. Frida, I hate to disagree with you, but I think moving the cat box was a huge mistake.
Cat person.
Now, I should tell you, honey, hold on. Before you think
cat
I'm...
Cat person calling.
Before you think that I'm setting the deck, all it says on the screen is has cat advice.
Okay, well, Rachel, if you have a... I'm sorry, I called you Rachel, the gal on...
yeah, that's okay,
for love or money.
For love or money. I'm sorry.
What, Teresa?
If you have a better suggestion...
Why was it such a bad idea to move?
For two reasons. Don, I agree with you that the cat won't go past the German Shepherd.
The
cat does go past the German Shepherd.
Occasionally in the middle of the night, but certainly not regularly enough to move his little cat bowels.
Doesn't sit there day and night, but they advise if you're going to move a litter box, you can only move it maybe a foot at a time because cats are so territorial.
Two steps a day.
How about moving it out in the middle of 495?
What Buzz just said was right, though. They say move it about two steps a day because if you move it any further than that...
Oh, God, we don't want to do that.
Don't upset the whole household.
All right, Mother Teresa, thank you.
Because of puss in boots.
She might have advice. I don't need people telling me why my plan is bad. Give me a better plan.
And while you're
She just did. Move it 2 feet a day.
And while you're moving it, take a picture each day, and when you're done, you have a flip book, and it looks like the litter box is moving.
No, that's not it.
Rob, always theater sports with you.
That's right.
Hey, honey.
Harry Bradshaw.
Honey, I know that you were working yesterday, but how about that thing with Rob? That was real, honey. That was real.
I know. I'm amazed because Carrie and I laughed for a good half hour on the drive to the beach over that one.
Oh, see, that's what theater's all about, is bringing joy.
All right.
Glad to entertain.
Hey, Teresa, thank you.
Sure.
Mother Teresa.
Hi, Teresa.
Thanks for nothing. I got no advice.
Right, hold on.
Teresa alone.
Here's another one. It says cat advice. Bob.
Hey, what's up, guys?
Hi, you're on the air, Bob.
This is more towards, I'm a flooring contractor, okay? I get this all the time, that their little kitty cat never goes in the house.
Yep.
And I can tell you...
And you got to take up the flooring and you got the cat urine in the corners, right?
Everywhere.
So, not in my house.
Yeah, but this is not...
Now, Buzz, that's when I heard that, I love you, Buzz, but I got to disagree.
Come to my house.
I'd be willing to pay for my flight to come all the way from Sacramento, California, to pull up a couple corners of carpet in your house.
Make a reservation.
I've heard you say, come to my house, Buzz. Yeah. And she is packing her little cat.
No, it's a he, honey. It's a guy this time. But either way,
I'm with this guy. This is the first. I will tell you.
Said, come to my house, and Furball's packing.
This is the best call. He wasn't talking to our cat.
This is the best. This contractor, this flooring guy, is the best call on cats. I completely believe what he has to say.
I think everybody thinks
they're sweet, clean, wonderful animals. And what they do is they sneak in there in the middle of the night if you don't have a small baby. If you do have a small baby, they're not going to do this because they're too busy sucking the breath out of the baby.
Right, as they do.
But what they do is they crawl into the corner in the middle of the night or when you're not home,
Mike,
and they soil the corners of your home.
Why don't I see stains? Why don't I smell cat urine? And believe me, I can smell cat urine.
Well, you might be surprised.
I'm telling you, Buzz.
Maybe you've built up a tolerance.
I can't argue with that.
I'm going to show you where your cat goes. But, you know, here's the thing. I hate cats.
Yep.
But they keep me in business. I don't understand why.
There you go. See, prejudice.
Well, see, I love cats. I love our cat.
He's trying to sell flooring.
I love our cat.
Get out of here.
How many cats have you buried under floors?
I had to re-carpet my home before I sold it in Annapolis because of the cats.
You either had bad cats or, as you said, they hated you.
I hated them.
Well, it was mutual and they got even.
Yeah, but who won that war?
Human.
I can drive a car.
I can
put them in a little box and take them to the shelter, where I certainly hope they were adopted by another loving family.
Because, you know,
I did the right thing. I didn't, like, leave them. I didn't let them go. I did the right thing. The cats were soiling the house, and they just weren't fitting in with the family.
Uh-huh.
And they scratched one of my little daughters.
Uh-huh.
And so we had to take the cat to the shelter. And I hope that the cat was adopted by a loving family.
You don't?
I do. It was sad. It was sad that the cats had to go to the shelter.
Yeah. I love that cat.
Yeah.
But that cat is...
Bye, homewreckers. That's what I said when I went by.
That cat is just fine on the third floor, honey. Are you still there?
We're going to try it my way. And if it doesn't work, we'll move him back.
All right, fair enough.
All right, very good. Good compromise.
All right.
All right, I love you.
I love you too, sweetie.
All right, I'll see you. Goodbye, darling.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye.
That worked out well, and the cat will be happy too.
Yeah. And as much as what I said about how I love the cat, really, if my wife keeps doing this... one of these days, uh-huh. I'm just going to leave the back door open.
No.
One of these days.
No, if it comes to that, bring furball to my house if it comes to that. But only if it comes to that.
Hold, see, hold on. No. Hold on now. I'm doing her work. But do I have a commitment from you to take this cat?
As a preventative measure that anything bad happened to it, yeah.
Is the cat getting enough exercise? Because a trick that I learned from a friend of mine that I went to American University. No, you know how hamsters like the wheel?
Yes, I know.
The cats can do the same thing in the dryer. And it's and they don't have to work as hard because it's motorized.
Buzz, I would never let the cat go, to be honest with you, because right. he has been declawed and he wouldn't be able to fend for
That's
himself
right.
out there. However, having said that, mm-hmm. I am really tired. You know, here's what I have to balance. On one hand, this cat's life...
Has it been defanged?
He's a good cat. No, he's not been defanged. He's declawed.
Has it declawed been, and defanged is the only way I like it.
He's been de-eviled. He's been a good cat. I love him. But on the other hand, I got to live with her every day.
I know.
First thing in the morning she says is, oh, that cat crapped all over the place.
Does your cat bite?
Does our cat bite? No.
Has it ever bitten anyone?
Never. Mm-hmm. Never. It's a good cat.
He just wants to taste blood.
It's a good cat.
You know, it would be a shame if one morning you came down and Clink was shaking him in a figure eight. You don't want that to happen.
You don't. No, you don't. No.
See, Buzz?
Yeah, if it comes to that.
You're gonna have to. I'm going to have to get Sally Struthers to call you up.
Yes. That is the best mental image, too. Shaking him in a figure eight.
Adopt a cat.
So anyway, that's the...
Sharks do that, too.
That's the deal. And don't even get me going. Don't get me going on her cards that she has.
Cards?
Tarot?
No.
Her what?
Index?
No.
Business.
Motivational cards.
Like flashcards, sort of? A reminder?
Like you look at every day?
I think they were a gift.
Mm-hmm. I'm special, and today I will seize the day.
Something yes.
People like me.
Something like that. So I just said to her, you know, come on, listen. I'll be your coach. I'll be your Vince Lombardi. Here's what you got to do today. You know, do this. But don't move the cat box, woman. It's a bad, bad move.
At least stick with it till the fall, till football season, so you can take the cat out for football practice.
The story that we're working on today, I don't know if you saw SportsCenter or not. I know we're coming up on a break for this girl from the reality show, but on SportsCenter, they showed this guy at a St. Louis Cardinals game.
Mm-hmm.
There was a pop fly into the stands.
Yes.
And there's a very precocious 4-year-old kid who's just waiting for the ball.
It was in Texas. Wasn't it in Texas?
No. You're right. You're right. It was in Texas.
Right, in Arlington.
Right, because Beth Ann had called the St. Louis Cardinals to find the kid, but you're right. It was
right.
in Texas.
Arlington.
Anyway, the kid's going to catch the ball, and this guy just absolutely barrels him over.
I never saw the video. Did you see the video
yeah.
of this?
Wow. Every hour on ESPN.
Was the guy as remorseless as they say? The guy
yes,
that
he
did
was.
Not give any quarter to the kid at all?
The guy not only jumped over seats, and I'm looking, pinned the kid down.
With his legs, pinned the kid down.
And then when he got the ball, he did that thing that moron fans are like, yes! And it was a 4-year-old kid.
Yeah.
So later, both teams, the Rangers and the Cardinals, came up into the stands and gave the kid, bats and balls and
apparently,
stuff.
Like, some of the pitchers for the team, wrote on T-shirts bad yeah. things about the guy. Like, tough guy.
So,
one of the T-shirts.
So I'm not sure exactly who it is that BA is working. This is not something that will definitely happen today.
Right.
But we'd like to get, first... The guy in the stands.
If that's possible.
If he's available for interviews.
He has totally gone underground.
But if not, BA thinks we're pretty close to tracking down the kid.
Very good.
To talk to the 4-year-old kid that was pinned down.
I heard the poor kid from the trauma now goes to the bathroom all over the house.
Oh, no.
Well, you know what? That means he's going to be living with you soon, Buzz.
Yeah.
We have to move it off the third floor down to the basement.
If I'm lost.
Down to the basement.
Pretty soon you're going to need charcoal floors, Buzz. You don't think so. You think you got the nose that knows, but you don't know. It's one day it's going to hit you.
I've had like 6-8 cats over 25 years. Never had any of this problem.
Never one that's
no.
been...
Nobody bitten. Nobody
can I be bit. Honest with you?
What?
And I hate it when people say that because it implies that all the other times you're talking, they're just giving you a load of BS.
Right.
But I must tell you something. In the over 20 years that I've known you, mm-hmm. Professionally, socially, right. every time I've entered your house... Cat urine.
Overwhelming?
Like...
Hard to breathe?
Yeah, almost like someone giving you smelling salt.
How many cats over the years?
You never... Like 6 or 8.
And never any urine in the corner?
It's
no.
It's the dirty secret none of us have ever wanted to bring up, Buzz.
Why didn't you tell me before?
Can I just give you a hint?
Sure.
During the break,
uh-huh.
go out and smell your shirt.
while you're looking at your ass, to see if you have a nice ass.
Hey, that's my job.
Smell your shirt. And okay. Tell me if it doesn't smell like... No, of course it doesn't.
No cat urine in your house.
Of course it doesn't. But
and that's your natural hair color, too.
Seriously, if you would talk to your wife, I really would love to give that cat a good home.
Okay.
Okay.
I know you'll miss Furball, but I'll talk to
her.
Okay.
Thank you.
It's not going to happen, though, is it?
I don't know.
You don't sound like you want the third cat.
After two cats, if you add another one, then you need an additional litter box. And one of the cats already doesn't like one of the other cats. And, you know, it's just going to cause a lot of emotional upset.
You know, you're always asking him for help, and I'm here to help.
Listen, if I need to whack the cat, I'll do it myself.
Is the cat just poops all over the place?
Yeah, I don't have a problem
with
the cat.
There'll be no cat whack.
I don't have a problem with the cat.
Hold on a second. Hello, who's calling? Inside line.
It's BA.
Hey, BA.
You know, the least you guys could do is give him some cat support.
Cat support?
Yeah, Buzz takes the cat. I mean, like, pay for, you know, litter box.
Oh, yeah. That's a typical woman. Check. Thank you, honey.
Boo.
Thank you, typical woman.
Thank
Boo.
You, B.A.
The least I could do is give him some money.
That's right.
You have the man. Give the woman some money. Not that you're a woman, but give him some money.
Cat support.
Cat support.
Yeah. You know what worked out really well?
What?
Remember when you had that refrigerator and you gave it away to a listener? And you made that listener very happy?
Oh,
and I'm
sure
that refrigerator is still working.
I don't know if I want to give away. See, even that's where I have a heart that has a little bit of blood in it. I wouldn't give that cat to a listener.
Because
I know what would happen to that cat.
Yeah. You've met so many listeners over the years. Are they not all great to a fault?
That cat.
Airlift the cat to Sacramento.
That cat would be cut up. It would be on eBay.
Yeah, no.
I don't want that. No.
Cat bay.
Forget it.
Own a piece of Don Geronimo's cat.
Right. All right, Buzz, listen, we'll talk about this later. Yeah. Bye, B.A. Oh, and B.A., that girl's next, right?
Right.
Right, okay.
Okay, bye.
Bye. There she goes. B.A. Thanks, B.A.
You're the 100th caller.
What
a cat.
I'm not giving away the cat to a listener. I'm really not, because Buzz is taking it.
Yeah.
You know, tell your wife.
With the support check.
Tell your wife. With the support. All right. I pay for the god. What are your issues?
Well, cat food.
Your issues are what?
Litter.
Cat food and a new litter box?
Yeah, and an annual trip to the vet.
Consider it done.
That's it.
Consider it done. Consider it done.
Mike would only need a hatchet.
I wouldn't
kill the cat. I wouldn't. I'd keep the cat.
That's right. I don't want to be picky, but could you come by and pick it up tonight?
No problem. That's part of the service.
Okay. Thank you.
All Mike would need is an aquarium.
That's all I need.
And, of course, you know Mike, when it comes to animals, Mike loves his horse.
Hershey.
I forgot about the pony.
Hershey the pony.
The pony you bought for your dog.
Yeah, we spent a lot of quality time with that horse.
When's the last time you took that horse out?
Like 2 weekends after I picked it up in the winter. I haven't been over to see it.
Oh.
But I talked to my buddy who I own it with, and he said, no, it's not dead, Rob. He said it looks great. The pony's in great shape.
They've stuffed it.
They love it. No, they love it. When the grass blooms, the ponies and the horses, they live outside more often, and they love it. They're happy. They don't have to spend any time in the barn.
This could solve the cat food problem.
There you go. Right. We got a break. And when we come back, Rachel, what are you thinking about?
Cat polo.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You have no idea what your work means to me.
What does it mean to you?
That somebody out there knows what it's like to be in here.
Oh, God, this is like a nightmare.
Oh, come on, just a couple of questions. How hard is that? How do you write women so well?
I think of a man, and I take away reason and accountability.
The Don and Mike Show.
Charmingly ghetto. The Don and Mike Show.
Darn right. Where's the girl? Are we calling her, or is she calling us? The Love or Money girl?
Rachel, from the show For Love of Money. For Love or Money.
Money. Last night on NBC.
The show that we are addicted to.
I kind of watched it last year.
Uh-huh.
I've not watched it this year.
I think I've got the premise, though, this year. They're all going to compete, and then there'll be two left standing, and they will fight over a chick.
And then they will get a cat and put the cat on a spit.
Right.
And they'll put a big apple in the cat's mouth.
We have a little cat apple.
They do that.
A crab apple.
That's right.
In fact, a baby crab apple.
Or, you know, maybe just a cherry tomato.
How about a persimmon?
Agreed.
Very good.
A persimmon, and you turn that thing and you slowly roast that baby.
Right.
Now, where is she? Here we go. We're ready for it. We talked about
the goddamn show.
Mm-hmm. Now, we want to talk about the guy, Preston Mercer, who we had on the show last week.
Just a loser personified.
Well, he was cocky. Yeah, we didn't like him because he made an age joke, and not an AIDS joke, but an aged joke. Like, he commented on the fact that we talked about, and you know, I did a little survey, incidentally.
Oh, good.
About,
the word French kissing?
Mm-hmm.
Or as we said, just Frenching?
Yeah. And you know what?
Did you French her?
Preston's what, 25 years old?
I like that.
Okay. Yeah. I sampled somebody a couple of years younger. And,
Tiger. In fact, let's isolate that.
And you know what? French kissing is the term that's used by everybody to this very day.
Like that. I sampled someone about 25. Joining us now on the telephone here is Rachel from For Love or Money. Hi, Rachel.
Hello, Rachel. Hey, how's it going?
Hi there.
Hey, how are you?
I'll tell you.
Good.
All right.
I'll tell you first, we're a show full of guys. We don't necessarily watch your show every week, but please don't be offended. It gets great ratings. And
yeah, it's a very hot show.
My wife watches it. We just had her on, asking her all of her questions.
We're trying to get the lowdown because we had Preston on the show last week.
Uh-huh.
And we were kind of confused about the show, but I think we've got it now that you all, you compete and for the love of Preston, and then at the very end, Preston has to decide whether it's, or you have to decide whether you take Preston or the check. Isn't that the way it goes, basically?
Right, we decide whether we take Preston or the check, and then he has the choice. If we choose him, he has the choice of choosing our check.
Now, are you aware that you're known as the bitchy girl?
Now, don't you think that changed a little bit last night?
Well, the way we're getting it, we're getting this second hand, Rachel. So
that
you
the other girls, hate you.
That they're out to get you, or something like that.
Last night, I think the tables turned a little bit.
Uh-huh.
It seemed like Andrea turned into the villain, but that was just my perception.
Now you already know how this show ends.
Yeah, I do.
And we're not going to push you on that because you had to sign some confidentiality agreement. But if I could just ask, maybe you could just answer this for me. As a woman, you're on this show.
Okay.
You're on a reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And I've seen this episode a couple of times, this new run, the third one. And we had the guy on the show last week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And the guy just seems like a tool.
He
came on the show last week, and I will tell you, Rachel, that we did not necessarily part as friends.
I mean, he's not all that in a bag of chips. Rachel,
I
don't even know you. I only watched you on TiVo last night, but I'll tell you this, you can do better.
And this guy is, you know, I mean, there's full of himself, and then there's full of himself, and he was a little full of himself.
So do you like him? Do you really like him?
You know, we had a blast on our dates. I mean, I don't think there's any way that you can fake a connection if you're not having a good time. At least I'm not that good at that.
You still like him?
I had a great time with him on the dates.
She's not answering that question.
Not worth a try.
Hey, you know, now this is the kind of thing where... Now I'm intrigued. Now I'm going to go, on Monday nights on NBC?
Yes.
I'm going to watch the show now because of that answer, I will be diving into the show.
I bet.
So you did see it, though. You said on TiVo.
Don watched it on TiVo.
We all went to dinner last night. We had a charity thing to go to.
Yeah.
Okay.
So we TiVoed it and watched. Of course, I would have been there otherwise, watching it live. And
it's just when we had Preston, and I want to get to the bottom of this.
Yeah.
We had Preston on the show last week, okay?
Yeah.
We've had a lot of reality people on the show. We have pretty good times with reality people. We had a great time with Evan Marriott when he came on the show.
All of them have been on. He's the only one that we've ever really hated.
This guy was trouble, Rachel. I'm going to tell you, he was trouble. Here's where we ran into trouble. Would you like to hear where we ran into trouble?
I would love to.
Let me just ask you a simple question.
Go ahead. Ask her the question.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If you're going to make out with a guy,
yes,
and you're going to put your tongue in his mouth,
what do you call that?
French kissing.
Bingo! And that's what we said.
Yeah.
We said, did you French kiss anyone? And he said, what was his comment? I don't know how old you guys are, but what does that term mean?
He said, that term's from another generation.
Yes, that's what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said
exactly
that to us.
Thank you, Buzz.
Mm-hmm. Now, Rachel, I will tell you something. We are all in our 40s here, okay?
Except Buzz. Hey,
Buzz,
be honest.
Buzz is in his 60s. But I'll tell you, we were offended by that because, I don't think because we use the term French kiss, that means that we're over the hill. Do you, Rachel?
No, that's the only term I could think of using in that case.
And how old would you be, Rachel?
I'm 26.
26. Bingo. I rest my case.
Mm-hmm. She's old enough to be one of your girlfriends. She's 26. Now, Rachel,
Have you tongued? Have you French kissed this guy?
Back to the French kissing.
Yeah, let's go back to French kissing.
Have you French kissed this guy?
Preston.
Yes, Preston.
How would Preston?
I cannot tell a lie. Yes, I did.
You did.
Good for you.
And how was he as a kisser?
You know, he wasn't bad.
Wasn't bad. But obviously he wouldn't say French kiss, we French kiss. He would say something like, you know what he would say? Really? I have only one term. He would say that he tongued you.
No.
And that's just horrible. Just guessing.
And I want to tell you
nasty.
And I want to tell you that, yes, even though I can't say it, if he had said that to me in private conference, I would have thought he had done something else to you.
Oh, yeah, that's what I was going to say. I was saying, well, that sounds like something else.
So I don't really know, in the world of Preston Mercer.
See, now, do you see, Rachel?
You see how we were put off?
Do you see how twisted this guy is?
I think I would have been thrown off by that comment as well, I have to admit. I mean, I don't understand it. No, I would call it friendship.
Now, Rachel, what are you doing now? What are you doing now with your life?
I'm still a flight attendant.
You're a flight attendant?
Yeah.
Would you like to give the airline a plug?
Actually, I can't say what airline I fly for because I need to find something, but it's a major carrier.
How long have you been a waitress?
Come on, that's a joke. How long have you?
Don't worry, I have a sense of humor. 3.5 years.
3.5 years.
Yeah.
Do you get hit on a lot when you're on your flights?
You know, it's not that bad. I don't. Maybe because it's. I don't know. We get a lot of business travelers or whatever on my airplanes, but they're not that bad. I mean, I'll get people be like, "Oh, you have beautiful eyes or a nice smile," but nobody actually ever says, "Hey, baby, it's gonna let's go out."
What if this goofball Preston had approached you? Unrelated to this TV show. Mm-hmm. You know, just come up and said, you know, in whatever dumb way, you know, I want to tongue you, whatever it is. Would you have found him interesting? Please be honest. Would you have found him interesting if he was not on this TV show?
Let me think. I mean, it's hard to say, but I'm trying to think. You know, first things first, I think he looks better in person than he does on TV. That I have to clear up, because I thought he was cute when I first met him.
Okay.
And like I said, me and him, we really had a great time together. I don't know, though. You know what? I don't know how people act. A lot of people act different on TV than they would in real life. I mean, I acted like myself no matter what, but who knows? I mean, I don't know what he would be like.
Let me ask you this question, then. Why were you perceived as the one who was most into the money? Why do you think that was?
Probably, honestly, because I was the most honest.
Okay, good answer.
I'm pretty upfront about things, and I mean, let's be real here. When you don't know a guy, and you're going into a show, and you find out it's for love or money, and you have the possibility of winning $1 million, and you don't even know him, I mean, what do you think you're going for initially?
Tongue.
Obviously, the money.
I'll ask you a reality person's question, because I ask this of a lot of people that go on these shows. Besides the money, people wonder why a lot of these women go into these shows. Some say, hey, it's legitimately for love. Some say it's just for the money. Some say it's for, getting a television career, to be on TV. What was your primary motivation to do a reality series?
But, you know, I kind of fell into it in a weird way because I do commercials here in Chicago, and I just went in one day for an audition for a totally unrelated commercial, and the casting director just came up to me and said, Rachel, you know, are you married? You know, do you have a boyfriend? I said, no. He goes, why don't you come tomorrow? I said, what is it? He goes, NBC's casting for this, reality show. I said, well, what is it? He said, it's a dating show. And I had no idea that it was for love or money. We were told it was under some title called Adventures in Love. And it was,
see, they tricked them, Don. They tricked them.
Mm-hmm. Do you think, Rachel, do you think you're the best-looking woman of the five that are left?
That's terrible.
Yeah, but come on.
You're an honest woman. You can be honest.
Do you think you're the best-looking? Of the ones that are left?
Gosh, I don't know. I mean, I think they're all...
All right, then who's better looking than you? Of the five that are left, who's better looking than you?
Who do you think of the other five?
I'll tell you who else I thought was really pretty in person was Rebecca, but we're totally different looks. Mm-hmm. I thought she was...
Well, do you think Rebecca French kissed him?
I think probably.
Ooh.
Oh, wow.
That doesn't bother you?
Ouch.
That doesn't bother you? You know
what? I don't know. I guess you got to know how the show works. I think it's kind of implied that you're supposed to be kissing.
And I guess if we asked you how your love life was now, that would be giving something away, right?
It would. I'd love to tell you guys, but yeah.
Well, here's the thing.
Something away.
As far as I can, my Neanderthal way of understanding the show, you already have, you know that your check is not worth $1 million. You know your check is worth $1 million. Right?
Or a dollar.
Yours
a dollar.
Is worth a dollar, not a million.
In the show, I had no idea that my check was only worth a dollar. So I was still trying to play as though, it was a million.
And you guys didn't know that going into the show, right?
No, we had no idea.
Well, how do you, I guess we'll find out in the long run, but how do you, can you tell us how you feel about that?
What, the fact that, that I
that you, that, you, that you had that some of the girls had $1 checks?
Right. I mean, well, obviously when I found out that it was a possibility that some of us could have gotten a dollar and some of us could have gotten a million, I obviously didn't want to be that one that got the dollar. I thought, well, this stinks. You know, I thought it was the straight for lover money when you just win the million in the end.
Right, but now, don't we already, I mean, from the episode last night, don't we already know she's only got a dollar check?
We do know that, but I don't know that in the show.
Oh, okay. All right. I got it. So in the show, you don't, in real life, you do know.
Well, now I know. Yeah, obviously.
Okay. All right. Thank you for clearing that up.
Matt, do you think that, obviously, you say you've done some TV commercials, so you've done some television work. Do you hope that this will open some doors for you in other areas of television?
Oh, I would love to. I mean, you know, I think you take your 5 minutes of fame and you run with it. I mean, I make the most of every opportunity, so I would love to. I mean, I love acting as it is, and I always have a blast doing commercials and stuff. So, and I actually had a blast on the show. I mean, they don't show a lot of the fun times that we had. They show a lot.
No, we don't want to see that.
But, you know, it was a blast. I mean, I had an absolute blast, so.
They don't show things like the hot tub romp.
Do you look at Sue Hawk as an icon?
I don't know who Sue Hawk is.
She's the big dykey woman from the first Survivor, the truck driver.
Sounds like the answer is going to be no to that.
Sounds like the answer would be no. Well, when does this show wind up? We'd like to talk to you afterwards to find out, you know, if you won or lost. When is this show over?
I think there are 3 more episodes, and I think the finale is July 5th.
Now, do you guys...
Here's a person. July 5th, that's when we come back.
Come back from vacation.
That's right. Here's a question for you. Do you guys get paid a salary, or do you get just, like, SAG scale, Screen Actors Guild scale, or do you actually get a salary?
No. You get a base pay every day.
Uh-huh. It's like a per diem, right?
Exactly.
I think that's what Preston told.
Is it just walking around money?
Basically, but it's kind of silly because really we don't have any expenses while we're there because they make us breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and we live for free, so.
Have you already gotten magazine offers? Because I know you see those reality girls in, like, the
stuff,
FHM stuff,
yeah.
Maxim, you see that all the time. Have you got any offers for that?
Well, not yet, just because it's the second show just aired last night.
It has to run, that's right, it has
to be. I'd love to do it. I mean,
would you pose nude?
I would absolutely not pose for Playboy.
Huh.
No.
Even if they offered you even $1 million?
No, not
two
even
million,
for a million.
$2 million.
Not even for two.
$3 million.
I just think I have more to offer than just that. And I think that to get a show, you can make a lot more than just posing for Playboy. So.
You know, but I mean, when you look at the actresses that have posed for Playboy, I mean, there are millions of them that have posed for Playboy successfully.
Sure.
I know, but you know what? I think a lot of times you have to make something, like really make something to prove your talent, and then you can do it.
All right. If not Playboy, how about Penthouse?
No.
But you would do, so you would not do Playboy, but you would do FHM, where, like, you would be naked just with your hands over your breasts? You would do that?
No.
You know, lingerie, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think so.
You know, that's why, seriously, those magazines like Stuff and FHM and Maxima are just taking off.
They're getting the babes. Yeah.
Because they get, really, I mean, everybody does them because that's why.
More women are willing to do that, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Can you move a cat's litter box? This has nothing to do with you. This is my own personal problem at home.
Well, you should start with the general question, how she feels about cats.
What, do you like cats? I love cats. Do you like cats?
I love cats.
Let me ask you a question.
Okay.
If you had a cat that for 10 years had its litter box, its food, and its water upstairs, and all of a sudden, your crazy wife moved it downstairs. Wouldn't you expect the cat to flip out and go to the bathroom all over the place?
Yeah, probably get confused.
See? Even Rachel thinks so. And you're the
and
girl my wife
smart.
Was watching on TV last night.
And what'd she say about me?
Oh, she liked you. She said the other girls didn't seem to like
you. I'm gonna ask a question for our wonderful guy Rob Spiewak, who is not on microphone right now. Rachel, do you like a man with a hairy back or a smooth back?
Need we ask that question?
Well, we'll tell you why. Rob is like Bigfoot, and he's just had all of the hair on his back lasered off.
Really?
Yes.
How do you feel about hairy men?
You know, I mean, I don't have a problem with hair on the chest and hair on your legs. I mean, I think that's normal. But, you know, a lot of hair on your back kind of looks like a bear. Mm-hmm. So, you know, if you get it lasered off, I understand that.
So you would go for the smooth back.
How about that dork that's on that show with you? Has he got a lot of hair?
No.
No, he does not?
No. He's a little bit too groomed for my life.
Yeah, see, I bet he shaves
what's
it all
the biggest,
off.
What's the biggest flaw that you can find in Preston?
Excellent question.
What's the biggest flaw in Preston?
Oh. These guys are going to make me trash talk. I can already
No, this is a legit... We really haven't done that with you. We just want one
flaw.
Everybody has their pluses and minuses.
There must be something about this tool that you don't like. I could come up with a million things, and I only had them on our show for like 20 minutes.
Oh, gosh.
What is it?
Terrible.
How about one physical flaw?
One physical flaw?
Yeah, something you looked at that it was just like, you know.
Yes, I have one of those.
Excellent.
Okay.
I didn't like the fact that he trimmed the hair on his legs.
Oh, yeah. God.
That's a little too groomed for
have
me.
Have you checked to make sure that that guy's a card-carrying hetero? I mean, really, if the guy is trimming the
he
hair
on his... He trims the hair on his legs?
Yeah, see, that's a little bit too groomed for me.
I bet that means he shaves, you know, where, too.
You know what? I don't know about that, but if you do the thing on your legs, it's probably...
Yeah,
that's right.
Absolutely. That's right, Rachel. That should be a big, you know, that should be like one of those Ghostbuster signs.
Absolutely.
The
yeah.
big international symbol with the red thing going
through. Do not go there.
Don't go there.
All right, well, you seem wonderful. Good luck
all
on
right.
this. Good
you
luck
guys
on this.
I had a great time talking to you.
I hope we see you on other television shows.
Not a I chance. So hope so, too. Well, I'll keep our fingers crossed.
All right, thank you. Thank you,
take
Rachel.
Take care, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Not a chance we see her on
it. Yeah, but there wasn't even one bit of biatchiness in her at all.
Oh, I like your fine.
And don't you think that comes through? I mean, especially on this show. we just squeeze it out of people.
But the guy is a dork.
The guy's a total dork.
Yeah.
Okay, hold on. Let me check with BA, who watches the show religiously. So, this girl that we just had on.
Right.
Why do all the girls hate her? Frida tried to tell us. Why do the girls hate her?
I think because they sense that he may like her.
Uh-huh. Is she hotter than some of the other girls?
She wasn't the prettiest one or the hottest one. I was shocked when he eliminated Jamie last night because he tends to like blondes. If you watch the show, when there's a blonde-headed girl, he bites his lip. The ones that he bit his lip. Four.
You know why he's biting his lip, Beth Ann? He's biting his lip because he's fantasizing about shaving himself.
How do you feel about him shaving his legs? Trimming his leg hair. Not
I've
shaving.
Never even heard of that.
You've never heard of that?
No.
Well, listen, darling. This is a lot you have to learn about all of us.
Here's the sound of Preston Mercer.
And B.A., yeah. We've not had a chance to discuss this. How's your mom?
How's my mom?
Didn't your mom just come and barge in on you this weekend?
She didn't really barge. She was going to come on Friday, then she called at the last minute and didn't come, and then she called us early Saturday morning after we had made plans, Jennifer and I, and she came. So then we had to wait for her.
You see, Jennifer is B.A.'s daughter.
Right.
Daughter, and B.A. has no friends, which is why when she said to me, my mom was in town this week, she said, how did it go? And your mom can't hear the show, can she?
No.
She said... It was great. I couldn't wait for her to leave.
Well, that's
a lot
normal.
Of people. That's very normal.
Kind of universal.
Yeah. I mean, she walks into my house, and I know she's my mom, but, you know, when I walk back into a room, everything's been moved around.
Right.
So I'm the cat, and my mother's Frida. So.
That's it. All right. Thank you, B.A.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye. All right. That's B.A. That's her show. That's For Love or Money.
Well, I sure like that, Rachel.
She tells me she has really good ratings, and the guy is just a dork. And incidentally, B.A. was positive that that girl was getting voted off last night.
Well, you can also read between the lines that, you know, we said, do you still like him? I had a great time on my dates. That means that something went down with Rachel.
She's right. Yeah. Right. And for the record.
Except Rachel.
For the record, she French kisses.
Yeah.
And she calls it that.
Yeah. Yeah. Like right. Him because, hey, well, I don't know what generation you're from. too busy shaving my legs.
She does that
trimming,
other thing.
Trimming them.
She does that other thing that disgusts the other women, too.
And that was?
Remember pleasuring herself.
That's right. Oh. We forgot to ask her.
God, Buzz, you should have jumped in.
Should have said something about the wooden spoon.
Now, how do you phrase that question?
Oh, boy, very carefully, but it would have been wonderful. And if anybody can do it, you can.
Okay.
Man, you should have written a note.
Yeah, call her back.
You're always over there holding up notes on celebrity death or big news story or I got something to say.
Right.
Oh, Buzz.
I don't know whether it came through on the radio, but I think you and I were both kind of intrigued with young Rachel.
Yeah, I got to see a picture of her now.
Yeah,
I mean, I saw. See, here's the thing. I saw the show last night, but it's one of those things we came back from dinner and just.
You don't remember who it was?
No, I said to Frida, which is the girl? And she said, oh, I don't know, one of these girls. I went, okay, good night. I'll see you tomorrow.
Right.
That was it. We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
When the tumor was dissected into tiny pieces and analyzed, pathologists found it to contain some very bizarre things.
A dermoid is an unusual type of tumor. It can contain any type of human tissue. And in fact, this patient had both hair and teeth in portions of this massive tumor.
I'm like a beautiful lady from Chicago.
Uh-huh. The Don and Mike Show.
Gotcha.
Hello.
Hi, Julia.
This hog is so bone crazy.
Right. What? Dennis said he met a beautiful lady from Chicago. I wonder if that was Rachel.
Wow. Oh, thanks. You got Rachel on the brain right now, don't you?
Just because, didn't he say there was somebody from that NBC show?
I don't think he said there was anybody from that NBC show.
Right. We need to find out.
In Los Angeles.
I seem to have a memory of it.
Hold on, Dude Walker.
More entertaining than a litter of acrobats.
There you go.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Well, now that we've said it, I'm sure that major effing star Dennis Murphy will call in and tell us if the girl that he met in Los Angeles was, in fact, the girl, Rachel. Have you seen the picture yet of her?
No.
No,
you?
No, I've not. No, I kind of saw the show last night, but I've not.
Oh, here. No, actually, she's on the. She's in the front of the style section.
It's not her, Mike.
It's right here.
That's not her.
Oh, that's not her.
Who is that? Who's that pig?
I don't know.
Who is that? What's her name?
Patty Wood.
That's her. All right, Patty the Pig. I know her. give me a second. We got a couple of phone numbers we have to call here.
Very good.
One is of a personal nature. Okay. God knows I do that enough. I'll wait and just call channels. Well, give me a second.
What the hell?
Well, this is top of mind for you. You want to call Channel 7.
It's the big game tonight,
finals,
right?
Finals are on tonight.
Can't Detroit eliminate L.A.? Can't they win the championship tonight in Detroit?
I got to do this part off the air where you get someone's permission.
Right.
I'm calling ABC affiliate WJLA. Albritton.
Ask for Albritton.
Hey, Albritton, it's Geronimo. Turn on your HD.
You might want to call engineering.
This is control room.
This is absolutely worse than calling this radio station.
Voicemail.
Still ringing.
Oh.
Seven rings at ABC affiliate WJLA.
That station would be running better if our friend Paul Berry still worked there.
That's unless they're listening to the show and just not answering the phone today. Oh, and I got to tell you, the funniest thing.
Paul Berry seriously is a guy that ought to be back on local TV.
That's Channel 7 for
you. Not even answering the phone.
Yeah,
really, he should be back on.
But I've got to tell you, yesterday when we were talking about some of the people on Channel 5,
right?
Beth Ann wrote an email to whoever the PR person is at Channel 5 saying, hey, we talk about Wilma Thomas all the time. We'd like to have Will on the show. And the guy wrote back a response to Beth Ann saying that the stuff that we say about Will Thomas, because we call him Wilma, and Sue Palka, because we call her Sam,
right?
Those are both very hard-hitting statements, and all WTTG personnel are banned from coming on our show because I believe of the ill-fated phone call to Amy Roadblock.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
And I think the worst thing, and it was back when we did the other kind of show, but I can even tell you now, I think the worst thing I said was that in my next life, I want to come back reincarnated as the seat in the helicopter that she sits in.
That's a compliment.
Hey, and you know what? Whenever we've had it, we've talked about every TV local person, when they come on the show, we treat them with nothing but decency and respect.
That's right.
Hold on,
let
me get my AOL here.
Anybody that knows this show would know that.
Of all the stations to take themselves too seriously, they'd be the ones I'd least expect.
And you think after 20 years that they'd get it and they'd figure it out.
But it's just a joke.
And they'd understand it, but they don't.
Human with a sense of humor, they'd come on the show.
I can't pull AOL up. BA, would you bring in a copy of that private email correspondence that you were sent by Channel 5. And while you're looking for that, let me try Channel 20 again, and then we'll...
Channel 7.
I'm sorry, Channel 7. It's just Channel 20 is so great, Mike. I'm always thinking about what's on UPN.
Well, ever since you were a boy.
Captain 20. When Captain 20 and Harv Moore both had their way with me.
Yeah, and in between you raced gerbils.
Hello?
Gerbils with strings attached.
You know what I found out recently?
Now, I'm not kidding. They're just hanging up the phone at WJLA TV.
Wow.
Really?
I'm just calling to ask if you're going to turn on the high def tonight for the Pistons-Lakers game.
Maybe Channel 7's closed. I found out once my uncle went to jail for reasons we won't go into for an overnight stay. And the prisoners were watching Captain 20 and betting on the gerbil race.
No.
Sure. Yes.
Seriously?
Yes.
I believe that.
All right, second ring.
We got to have gerbil races here sometime.
Yeah.
And betting.
You know.
Wagering.
These calls are not being made. You know, I'm just going to let them.
What?
Just listen to this. Even if I have to dump it out.
Hold on. 202-23.
Now, this is where I would always pick up the phone and say, you know, let me listen.
Two rings.
It's just the business line, right?
Yeah.
Channel 7. Three rings.
Turn on your goddamn HDTV tonight so I can watch the finals game in high definition. I paid a gazillion dollars. My wife yells at me every day that it was a waste of money to buy a high-def TV.
The devil you say. You've never spent better money than that.
Oh, don't I know it, Rob. Here you go. Seven on your side.
Seven rings.
If they answer, tell them you're Jim Belushi.
That'll get you right
there. I'm according to Jim.
Now, do you think...
I'm according to Jim.
Do you think that there's a chance that Channel 7 is listening to us and just not answering the phone?
Hey, this is Jim Belushi.
Maybe the same engineering staff that doesn't turn on the HD is...
Can I talk to the control room?
All right, well, for the phone. I'm not going to be able to make phone contact with him, but Channel 7, WJLA...
Shall I stay on it?
Please do.
This is not the way Jim Belushi likes being treated.
And here's the letter from the guy at Fox. So, BA sends this guy a note saying, would Will Thomas like to be on the Don and Mike show? He's one of the anchors on the...
Right.
If it bleeds, it leads, right. Channel 5 News.
Right.
And the guy writes back, thanks, heard them busting on us, though. And don't you mean Wilma Thomas? How about Sam Palka? That's pretty tough ribbing. We do need to talk regarding appearances of any WTTG talent with Don and Mike. There's a long history. Bottom line is there ain't no way anyone here will allow WTTG Fox 5 talent on their show. Don made a rude call to our morning anchor, and that was it. I pushed for an anchor to be on with them a while back, but was overwritten.
Overridden.
And this, overridden. This comes from Steve.
Overridden or overwritten?
Overridden, I'm sorry. When I say written, it's R-I-D-D-E.
I thought maybe they wrote
overridden.
It.
Overridden. No.
How about overruled?
There's so much behind the scenes there at Channel 5 saying, please, no, we don't want to come on the show.
Oh. Don't they know that when they come on the show that it begins a friendship?
That's right.
And listen,
I mean, no matter what we do, the busting that we do, if you get a joke and you can take the joke.
Say what you will. I know when I watch Channel 5. That guy, that smart-ass guy, that anchor guy, that smarmy guy, and that's a compliment. Brian Bolter?
You know
who I mean, the guy who...
Brian Bolter, the guy that's always like, here's my next story.
And if you didn't like that, wait until it's coming up next on Fox. That's the guy who's old,
smarmy wise-ass.
Sing-songy delivery, but I love it. I know that he laughs at the Wilma Thomas jokes.
Of course, and Wilma Thomas laughs at the Wilma Thomas jokes.
Sure. Don't hide these people from us, Channel 5. Let us talk to these people.
Have Wilma Thomas come over and come on our show and make fat jokes.
Cowards. Weenies.
And listen, hold on. Channel 5. Am I or am I not a Svengali when it comes to talent? Mm-hmm. You had Amy Roadblock. You know what you did with that beautiful, talented woman? You put her in a goddamn helicopter for 3 hours in the morning.
Right.
You know, someone at NBC would have a brain in their head and say, hey... Look at this babe Channel 7's got up in a helicopter. You know, she looked good behind an anchor desk and those nice long legs.
Well, that's all the channel. That's all the local news stations here. Really. I mean, really. You know what? It's similar to another employment situation.
Say it, Mike. Similar to what? Yes, you can.
You can.
Similar to the way it is here at this radio station.
Yeah.
Seems to be...
Hotties need not apply.
Seems to be a moratorium on beautiful women.
Really? Yeah.
Not that.
If you come here and you're hot, you put in our helicopter.
Not that we're, you know, absolutely beating the doors down with hot looking guys, except for Buzz, and the fact that Buzz doesn't have an ass, according to Mike. Right. Rob, are you on the phone?
But that's A-okay.
You on the phone with Channel 7?
Voice on the air for a moment. We have a question for you.
Ah, here we go. Getting through to.
Okay, can you hang on a second and speak to someone off the air?
Local ABC station, Channel 7.
Offer a timely reminder then.
Okay.
Please turn on your high definition tonight. It's important to enthusiasts of the cage ball exercise. Thank you.
Hey,
you
jackass.
Remember to turn it on? All right.
I forgot last time.
Hold on a second.
Hey, hi, who's this?
Hello? Hello?
They're gone.
They hung up.
Who was the lady?
It was
the
lady engineer.
All right, well, you got the message through that you want the high def turned on.
Turn the high def tonight on channels. How ridiculous is that?
TV weasels are worse than radio weasels.
You know, I don't get Channel 2 out of Baltimore real good, or watch it on Channel 2.
Getting back to that whole thing, though, with local news in this town, don't you agree with that? I mean, if you're a hottie, you're not going to rise to the top.
Now, you may stop by, but you won't stick around.
Mm-hmm. Right.
I tell you what, if you want to make it to the top in Washington, D.C. news...
Hey, the Today Show had a pretty news anchor today. Mm-hmm. A very interesting-looking news anchor.
So
a new one.
You want to make...
Ann Curry was in for Katie Couric.
You want to make... What is that website, Buzz?
That's Rachel.
Hey, Mike, go take a look at your girl from Love or Money.
Okay.
Go take a look at... Wow.
Yeah.
I didn't see that scene on last night's show.
No.
When we were watching the TiVo.
Mmm. Hello,
man. She's got something going on.
She's lovely.
Yes, and she French kisses.
Yes, she does. And she doesn't mind when it's called French kissing.
She's pretty.
Yeah. She sure is.
And I found out why they're not answering at WJLA.
Why?
Because I forgot. They moved their operation to Dale City.
Oh, so they moved to Virginia, so we were calling a dead number.
That's where the number that they had for WJLA was.
That's where their business offices are now?
Do you have
I thought they were in the Gannett building.
Yeah. No, they're downtown.
Do you have anything?
They're like in Roslyn. Mm.
When I called directory assistance, they said, do you have anything in D.C.? Only this in Dale City.
Live from the new studios of WJLA Television in Potomac Mills Mall.
Here is the guideline, generally speaking, Tracy Neal notwithstanding.
Right.
If you want to be a successful anchor lady in Washington, D.C.,
right.
Here are your career choices.
Uh-huh.
You either go on the Swan, or you get a job as an anchor at Channel 4, 5, 7, or 9.
Exactly.
That's it. Because all of the... And I'm even counting Wendy Rieger in there.
Mm-hmm.
Take a look at... You know, speaking about high-definition television, take it
now,
it's like watching Neil Armstrong. Like watching Neil Armstrong walk on the moon. It really is. There's just not enough pancake makeup. There's just not enough. And if I have to sit through one more Susan Kidd Tries the Diet of the Week special, I'm going to puke.
One of them's going to work.
No, but they've been doing this for sweeps for the last 20 years. She's like William Perry. She's gigantic.
I tell you, let it go.
She's a big, beautiful woman.
They got poor old Megan McGrath out of bed early today, too.
She was
down at a local fire.
With her big
Da Vinci veneers.
Da Vinci veneers.
You know who benefits from high-definition technology?
Who?
A little lady named Liz Crenshaw.
Oh, my God.
Is this just a general appeal to the local news stations here in Washington, D.C. to please hire hotties?
Well, yes, but it's mainly an appeal. We want the characters from Channel 5 on our show.
We do.
We want...
All the characters.
Channel 5, you're not a real station. I mean, you're okay. You got a good number. You've got, you know, 5's a good solid number. You got some good shows. But people watch the news because you're sleazy.
Yeah.
If it bleeds, it leads on Channel 5. And if there's any way that they can work the same letter into a lead on a story, they'll do it like sensational stabbing in South.
Well, they had a great one. They all had it last night. Uh-huh. They all had the great with the body in the dumpster.
Yes.
Did you hear that one? The lead news story?
How'd
they
do that?
God. Yeah, Ashburn. Ashburn, Virginia, they had the body in the dumpster and they were all going nuts. You know, in like, because it got out to the burbs. It was out in suburbia. If it's downtown D.C., it's like, incidentally, body found in a dumpster in D.C., nothing problem, you know. But when it gets out to the burbs, it's like they interview the scared mommy that's next door in the apartment.
If it was a kid channel, if I would say, Todd in the trash. Teen in the trash.
Dead in the dumpster.
That's right, dead in the dumpster.
Mm-hmm. The way I understood it, they found the body in a suitcase. Yeah.
Stuffed in a suitcase.
Right. Scary.
People are questioning both Senor Wences and Paul Winchell.
Suffocated. Stuffed in a suitcase. Imagine that ordeal. I'm Brian Bolter. Yeah. Shoved in a suitcase.
Yeah, you might think low carb is the way to go. Wait a minute.
What do you say, Feldy? Well, another worthless day in sports. If you only give me the last 2 minutes of a 10 o'clock, 1 hour newscast, so I guess all I got to say is the game's on the other channel tonight.
Let's go over to the weather desk with Sam Palka.
Jock itch.
How do you like that email now, pal?
Have some fun.
There you go. You know, loosen up, for God's sakes. Let these people call the show.
TV news.
Let them defend themselves.
Would you read a prepared apology if they deemed to come on the program?
Of course.
I think we read
whenever you put in front of us.
Of course. Shows up very...
We regret the unfortunate comments about one of your anchors not being the gender that he says he is.
You're talking of Amy Robach.
Here's the apology right now to Channel 5. Please listen. And I mean this. Anyone that was offended.
I got two guys, Sean Payton and Mike Zimmer. You got to keep an eye on those two.
Right.
Because they're going to try to get the upper hand on... Mike wants the defense to do well. And Sean, he's going to have a few... No disrespect to the Orientals, but what we call Jap plays, okay? Surprise things. And no disrespect to anyone.
No, certainly not. And none taken, Coach.
Exactly.
Absolutely none taken.
We should preface all of our comments about Channel 5 by no disrespect.
No disrespect.
No disrespect.
To anyone. To any Orientals that work at Channel 5, no disrespect.
No disrespect. Thank you.
If I could just say something. When Beth Ann sent that email over to Channel 5, mm-hmm. I thought it was kind of a Jap attack.
Yeah, no disrespect.
No disrespect to any Orientals. No. But it was just kind of a Jap attack when he sent that letter back.
In the words of Bill Parcells.
Yeah.
Most importantly, the words of Bill Parcells.
My wife's life coach. Bill Parcells. Her life coach. Jesus Christ. Her life coach.
Thank you.
If I had a life coach, this is too dated for anybody to get, but it would be Abe Gibron.
Sure.
Do you remember the guy?
The big fat coach? Wore red hats? The big red baseball cap?
The big loser for the Bears?
Yeah, in the real bad era of the Bears?
When Bobby Douglas was the quarterback of the Bears, the guy, big left-handed quarterback, number 10, could run, couldn't pass?
Abe Gibron, can you suck the jelly out of a jelly donut?
That's right. He's my life.
Wouldn't he be the record holder as probably the fattest NFL coach?
Oh, now we've had this discussion.
And Andy Reid is, is a big man.
Andy Reid has
and Madden in his day was a fat guy.
And Andy Reid has the possibility of being the fattest active NFL coach.
Exactly.
Don and Mike. There's an inside line. Hello. Oh, hello. 444. Hello.
Don and Mike.
Who's this?
Steve Hauk from Fox 5.
Steve Hauk?
Yeah.
Oh, is this the guy that sent the email?
This is my email. You guys reading my email in the air.
Steve.
Yeah.
I don't mind the email in the air anytime.
Hey, dude, now listen, let's get to the bottom of this.
Sure.
Steve, how long have you been in the market?
I've been in the market about 9 years.
Okay, well, we've been here, a lot longer than that.
Right.
And
when we've been doing this with local TV
with
news.
With Wilma and Sam for a long time.
And we've been doing it with other people for years and years and years.
Let me just clarify my position on this. About 4 years ago, when I got into the position that I'm here at Fox now, which is a VP of creative, what happened was you guys were on with Morris Jones. And I think it was the whole mojo kind of feeling bad about getting canned off Fox 5, and it was a lot of bad blood.
It was a guy who used to be the anchor guy.
Exactly. And his replacement was Mike Landis, who was... Mike Landis, exactly.
Mike Landis and his eyebrows.
And I felt actually, and you can ask some of the folks over there, and I've always been a big fan of the show. I love the show.
Well, then really, what's the problem? What did we do? Was it the call to Amy Roadblock?
Well, I think the original thing was I said, let's get Landis on with them. I think he can handle himself. It's great publicity. Right. These guys are great. They've got great numbers. Let's get them on. And they were very, very shy of just possibly turning around on these guys.
Can I interrupt for a second?
Sure.
I see a problem here, and I'll tell you exactly what the problem is. The problem is that anchors that have come on this show in previous visits usually don't go through anybody. They usually just kind of do it on their own.
They call themselves.
I mean, that's really the way the relationships have been.
And it goes well. Steve, wouldn't you think, even if you got one of your anchor people on this show, and as you said, it goes however it goes, don't you think these people are at least professional? They read off teleprompters for a living. They're on television.
Right.
Don't you think they're suave enough to say, hey, this isn't going well, I'm going to hang up on you guys?
You know, I'm going to risk bucking against the corporate, the company line for a second and say, yeah. I do.
Okay, good. Then why don't we come to this compromise?
I tell you, the compromise would be you talk to any of these people, and if they feel like coming on the show, they come on the show.
We'd like to have them.
Well, and that is always a possibility, but I think that the people are a little bit more tightly reined in by management than you think these days.
Hold on, Steve. I would get this if I was watching Channel 4, which is a station that has its head up its butt.
Right.
But let's be honest.
Right.
It's Channel 5.
Right.
It's Fox.
You're
5.
Fox.
If it bleeds, it leads. You got
it's entertainment.
You know, I have a mentality in this department that I like to push the envelope and have fun and do a lot of things that maybe other people might not in my position.
Then speak to Wilma. Just speak to Wilma and ask her if she'd like to come on.
Now, tell me one thing, though. Why do you call her Sam Palka? She's not an attractive woman, do you
know? No, but that's a joke.
Okay, listen. Here's the thing.
I know, but your jokes have a little bit of truth in them, don't they, often?
I'll say
if you get hung up on that, you'll be out on a ledge somewhere.
I'll say this. Yeah. All right. She's big boned. Okay?
Sam Palka.
But now, listen. I watched her last night. She's very attractive.
Right.
She's been in this market for almost 20 years. She's a good-looking woman. What's the problem with calling her Sam, for God's sake? We used to do that when her husband had a radio show.
And really, I think the whole Sam Palka thing was the yin to the yang.
Wilma Thomas.
Wilma Thomas. That's why we did that.
No, and you know what? I'm not offended at all by it. I put it in the email because I was just telling BA, who's new in the market, and she's called me a lot about ties in to doing stuff. And I said, look, to this day, in fact, in a meeting about the about 7 hours ago in a meeting, I said, look, they're asking again. They'd love to have some people on, and it was there were looks of horror around the conference table.
Here's what I find hard to believe. There's no one at Channel 5, if management said okay, that would have the guts to simply come on this show.
I think if management said okay, there may be people that would go on, but I think there is a feeling that there would be possible negative repercussions.
We want Beldy.
Sports is a different arena.
We could get Feldy in a minute.
Yeah, you have enough fun with Nancy. I think you'd have a lot of fun with Feldy.
What about Laura Evans? What's her deal?
Laura Evans, the recently named sexiest newscaster in Washington on DCRTV.com. She probably would have fallen into the same offices as the other ones.
Way to quote a website, that comes out of somebody's basement.
There you go.
We quote strange websites.
I'll tell you, when I want to get my sexiest women, I go to DCRTV.
I didn't understand it either. I think you guys have the best show on radio, I love listening to it, I certainly want you to know the real story.
All right, thank you, Steve.
Steve, I think the best thing to do really is, if you can, and anything you do to help us, would be to ask the individual. I mean, if they want to come on, we make jokes, but we have great relationships.
That's why I thought Landis coming on would have been ideal, because he could have taken it. It would have been fun. They would have shown a state anchor.
Don't be afraid.
I'm with you. And
don't be afraid.
I'm going to keep on fighting to get talent on Dynamite.
Well, that's good. Thank you, Steve. We appreciate it.
And keep thinking that what you have over there is talent.
I mean, not leave it that way with him.
Not you personally. I meant the people behind the cameras.
Still, you're kidding, of course.
You're beautiful puppets. Listen, would it help if we sent Will Thomas some chocolates and some nylons?
I'd say there are many, many different kinds of chocolate you could send him that he would love.
Hey, perhaps we do that tomorrow.
Maybe we get what's Elizabeth Taylor's latest perfume?
White diamonds?
We'll send him some of that.
That'd be wonderful.
And we'll send Sam some Old Spice.
It'd be fine.
It'd be fun. We're just having fun. Tell him that, okay?
I always do. I'll be listening to you in 45 minutes on my ride home.
We'll send over a big bottle of Elizabeth Taylor's Androgyny.
I think Wilma would love that.
Hey, all right, and you called him Wilma.
Thank you, Steve.
Yeah. See you later.
Later.
Bye-bye.
All right, there's the guy from local Fox 5.
He's got the stones to do that. That's good. Maybe that's a start. Who knows?
It's local TV.
They're afraid that we'll scar whoever the anchor people are that they send on this show.
We have a history on this show of relationships with local TV people, good and bad.
And I maintain, Amy Roadblock was just a gem in the rough at Channel 5. Mm-hmm. You wasted her. You wasted her. You had a beautiful, hot, competent woman.
Whenever we have, and I don't mean to sound
let her go,
old man here, but whenever we have talked French about
kiss.
Local news, I do miss Glenn Brenner, because Glenn Brenner was the greatest. He was the guy that understood what it was to be made fun of and to make fun of people. And it's just, we're all in the same business. It's just, we're creating.
Oh, except like, no, they're in TV, which is better than radio.
Television.
No,
that's
right. They're in TV, which is better than radio, which is why they all flip out when we talk about them. Right? That's why, because TV's better than radio, right? I'm used to the whole thing. But listen, I cop to it. Mm-hmm. I watch it. Mm-hmm. Why can't you guys cop to it? You listen to it.
Yeah.
You don't like when we call you a girl, Wilma? Well, call in.
And if you ever get tired of us talking about you, all you bring up is the Primetime Video Zoo. Our ill-fated summer replacement television show.
Don't even bring it up, because we know that we're radio guys. We're not TV guys. We learned that the hard way a long time ago.
We tried so hard. We loved the Magic Box.
And I'll tell you this. I'm sure about one thing.
What?
I'm a man. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, Wilma?
Oh, yeah.
And I don't mean that like in a way I'm challenging you to a fight. I'm just saying.
I know.
I'm just saying, G.I. Joe, I'm not really sure what's happening yeah. down there. Smooth plastic.
He's going to sprint to this show.
Smooth plastic.
He's on a dead run right now.
Wilma Thomas. They should be popping the champagne corks of Channel 5 right now.
Yeah, listen to all the free advertising.
For God's sakes, we just spent 20 minutes talking about this stupid television station. When the station we're really mad at, dumb Channel 7, doesn't even answer the telephone. Well, that's because we had the wrong number.
Right.
Scratch that rant.
We had to call Dale City.
There was attitude.
So they could turn the HDTV on. All right, that's all the time we have in this break.
That's it.
In our next break, we'll do something else.
Okay.
and then still to come today, I hate saying this because it's so effing cliche, but... one of our favorite funny men, Patton Oswalt.
He is funny. He's one of the funniest stand-up comics working today.
And he's got a new CD out that's dirty as hell, but we've beeped it up so we can play it on the radio. Patton will be here. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Please feel free to make this your own copy.
All right.
We've all heard about OnStar by now. You get a cell phone in your car with OnStar. You press the white button. Lady says, OnStar, may I help you? You say, dial. She says, number, please. And you actually hear the cell phone call through your speakers that you would normally listen to the radio on.
And I don't know if this lady's voice is used in other car systems, but the lady from OnStar, that little automated voice that says,
sexy.
Name, please.
That's how she says it to you. Imagine driving along the highway and you press that white button. And, you know, you don't get a harsh voice. You get,
name, please.
Dial slower. Has she ever said that to you?
Slower, please.
I never.
Has she ever?
I hear that all the time.
Yeah, I get so worked up with her.
So you press the white button, and it's like a cell phone in your car hooked up to OnStar, and you get better reception than you do with a regular cell phone. For more information, go to OnStar.com or visit your local GM dealer for a demo.
Hi, baby.
Demo.
WKFK.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Come on, everyone. That 80's enough reunion show is about to start.
Well, Mary, have you seen Nicholas?
He's up in his room sulking, Dad.
Yeah, he's still upset because Abby threw out his baseball cards.
Oh, well, maybe I should make him a sandwich.
Oh, Dad, that's your solution to everything. Dad! Dad!
What?
8 is enough.
You know I love you, girls.
The Don and Mike Show.
Yeah, hello, Rob. It's Dick Van Patten. I get back next Saturday night. So I see you'll be here Sunday, the 19th, I guess, right? The 20th. So I guess I could see you today, guys, then, on the 20th. If I have to leave again on Monday. Okay, let me know how we can work this out. I go back to Salt Lake City tomorrow. But I'll be home today. Bye-bye now.
You're leaving now.
Hey, that's tight.
Oh, my God. It's Don and Mike.
Nice. All right, now.
No.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now.
Bye-bye now. Bye-bye then.
Hi, baby.
There's so many things that I want to talk about, and we're running out of time. We have Patton Oswalt here. We want to get to your phone calls here, and what is this? Bud just handed me. Glenn Campbell will be in jail for 10 days now for his extreme drunk driving.
Yeah.
And it's still... Like the X Games of drunk driving.
Uh-huh.
Extreme drunk driving.
And it's still up for debate of the three. Who had the worst mugshot? Was it James Brown?
Nick Nolte or
Glenn Campbell? Those were the three. They all came out in relatively a short order.
Nick Nolte.
I got to go with Glenn Campbell because of the facial expression.
Because it's a further trip for Glenn Campbell.
That's true.
Nick Nolte really kind of normal. Extreme. Live from Aspen, Colorado on the X Games. It's extreme drunk driving. And Glenn Campbell on an ATV.
Here I go. Hi, I'm Glenn Campbell.
It's extreme drunk driving.
Not just regular drunk driving.
So how much time is he going to do in the Hooskow?
10 days.
Ten days.
That's 10 days he can't entertain.
Okay, here's here's a bunch of stuff I want to talk about. You tell me what you're interested in, because we got a time thing today. Paul McCartney is a jerk.
This is interesting.
Mark Anthony spent $24,000 on a pair of flip-flops for Jennifer Lopez.
Not interesting.
Rush Limbaugh, there was a discussion that Rush Limbaugh wants the divorce and that she wants the divorce. This is how this is starting to play out.
That's interesting.
Leona Hemsley has Alzheimer's.
That's interesting.
And there's a lot of great stuff with this.
Really?
Including her getting into her car. She has a driver.
Yeah.
In front of her house.
Yeah.
And she says to the driver, she leaves her house, mm-hmm. comes out the front door, gets in the car in the back of the limo, and says, take me home.
Take me home.
And then the driver drives around the neighborhood for about 10 minutes and then brings her back.
Oh, man. Really?
Yeah.
Okay, very
good. Also, Lenny Kravitz and the story about the joint. I'll tell you this one.
Lenny Kravitz and the joint?
Yeah, I know that's a shock, Mike.
Yeah, he made the highest guest we've ever had on the show.
Lenny Kravitz, absolutely the highest. It was back in the day when we did the Morning Zoo show.
Sure, he came in high.
He was out of his mind.
It's a legend.
Well, right. He had a joint that he shared with Mick Jagger.
Right.
And
recently?
No, years ago.
Okay.
And he saved it because it was a piece of memorabilia.
Sure.
A joint that he smoked with Mick Jagger.
Very good.
And he recently lost the joint.
Oh,
and it's not that he lost it. It's just he ran out of weed, and it was the only joint that he had left.
Wow.
So
he smoked it.
So he smoked it.
Now, Mick would want it that way.
We can talk about that. Why was Bush so nice to Clinton yesterday?
I would love to get to the bottom of that. I'm not sure. I don't trust it.
I can't figure this out. You know, the Clinton had his portraits at the White House yesterday.
Right.
And Bush, I saw this on C-SPAN. I read it in the newspaper. Bush did a freaking commercial for Clinton's book coming out.
Yeah. There may be one reason, and the reason is this, that Clinton apparently did the same thing for George Bush Sr. When his portrait came out. That Clinton handled that very graciously, and that might be a payback for that.
Well, either way, it was weird.
Or he might be just trapping him.
Jennifer Aniston might be pregnant. God, I hope that's true. I hope that's true. You know why.
Yeah, we know why.
Mommy.
All right, that's...
Mommy.
That's just disturbing.
You know, just watch Bruce Almighty sometime. I know it's an awful movie. You just watched it.
Right.
But that scene that...
No, I didn't watch that. I watched Comedian.
Oh, but didn't you tell me you recently watched Bruce Almighty?
No, my kids did.
Oh. Uh-huh. Anyway, there's a
my
scene.
My kids love Bruce Almighty.
There's a scene where...
Should I be letting them watch that?
Yeah, that's okay.
That. Is that all right?
It's got some funny scenes, like where the dog uses the commode and stuff.
Okay, yeah. All right.
And Jim Carrey's funny for being Jim Carrey.
They love it. They love that.
It's religious.
I haven't seen it.
There's a scene where she wakes up and she says, are my boobs bigger?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I don't know. They look the same. And of course, they look much bigger. And I'm just thinking, you know, that's what God does when a woman has a baby.
If you get a chance,
that he enhances her.
Well, I had a discussion about this, and if I can digress for a second here, about the booby fairy, as it's referred to.
Yeah.
And that's what's said. Now, correct me if I'm wrong. When someone says the booby fairy, you immediately think the woman is pregnant.
Right.
And a friend of mine, this happened months ago, a friend of mine comes up to me, and kind of elbows me and says, hey, guess what? The booby fairy's come to our house again. I said, oh, man, congratulations.
Is that an operation this time?
And I said, it's fantastic. That's great news. And we separated. It was at a party, a little reception.
Mm-hmm.
And I walk up a little bit later, and I see his wife, and I walk up, and I say, hey, I understand. Congratulations are in order. And she gives me a funny little look. And then later on, I say it again. I said, so are you going to be able to, you know, I didn't think you guys were going to have any more kids. Are you going to, we're not having any more kids.
Oh.
And then I finally had to just, you know, deal with it head on.
Was she getting implants?
And she had gotten them.
Oh.
And I was like, that's not the jargon you use.
No, that's not the booby fairy.
You don't say that to another male, because the booby fairy to me is pregnancy.
The fairy
absolutely
bring
very clear with something
yes,
like that.
Yes.
And it was, you know, it was because they're very cool
and
people and very open. It was not as awkward as it could have been, but I felt like kind of a dummy after that.
Here's why it's the booby fairy, because it's like a fairy godmother type story, because the gift doesn't last forever.
Right.
You know, eventually midnight comes and that turns back into a pumpkin, that gigantic Cinderella thing that she was driving around in.
But there are examples of women who go through that transformation, and it takes, and there are women that you know, it goes away, and there are women that I've heard of women that get pregnant and their boobs are changed forever.
Well, I could talk about it with Jennifer Aniston forever.
I know you could.
But way to go. Way to go. Get those pictures. Get those pictures right out to the fans of Jennifer Aniston. Mike, in the NBA.
Yes, sicko.
Oh, there's nothing sick about that. I enjoy a full bosom. What about... You know what is sick? Was my fascination yesterday with the Nicole Kidman story about the movie that she's making with a 10-year-old boy.
Yeah, that was disturbing.
Where they're naked and they're making out in the tub.
That's 2 days in a row. 2 days in a row.
And the name of the movie, Robbie?
Birth.
Birth. That's the name of the movie. Ask for it by name. Birth.
Look how pleased you are.
Hello. Here's Dennis in Green Bay, Wisconsin. Dennis, Don, and Mike. Hello.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Howdy. It's going great.
Good. Excellent. Hey, Glenn Campbell is coming to play at the casino here, and I was just wondering if maybe you guys wanted me to get a copy of his mugshot and have it autographed for you.
Oh, yeah. He'd be up for that.
Yeah, that'd be a nice move to pull, especially maybe that'll happen like right after he gets out of jail.
He'll be up for that. Thank you. Thank you for absolutely nothing.
But, you know, just picture it for a second, even though, you know, it wouldn't be received well. But the guy, like, holds it to the last minute. I say, Mr. Campbell, is there any way you could autograph this picture? And then you put the mugshot.
Hey, if he has a good sense of humor. No, he doesn't. No. And then the headline would be Glenn Campbell kills fan. You know, and somehow we'd get our names drawn into it.
Of course we would. That's
Paul McCartney. Now, didn't we have the discussion when Linda died that the first thing he would probably do is go have a big steak, go to McDonald's, get himself some Big Macs? Yes.
Not the case.
No.
No. Paul McCartney is performing. Oh, they wrote this very cleverly. Performing without wings. Also without thighs and drumsticks.
Oh, super! Oh.
The deal is, Paul has a concert that he's doing now in Norway. And not only the people who are involved in the concert, the roadies, the people that tear down the stages, the people that perform with him, the guys that do the lights, everybody that works in the arena. For the entire time that Paul McCartney is there, they're not allowed to eat meat. They have to eat vegetarian.
Well, you know, that's a little extreme.
It's Paul. Now, there's a guy.
It's true.
I can't even pronounce this guy's name. But he's a guy in Norway, and he says, it's crazy. We're supposed to work from 8 till 8, and Paul doesn't serve us anything except salad and vegetables. I can't live without meat doing this kind of work.
That's because he's a carnivore.
I will defy the ban and bring my own lunch packet with meat.
Good.
Paul says we can't control what they do in their spare time, but as long as they're inside the stadium area for Paul McCartney, it's correct that they are banned from eating meat.
Paul, come on now.
So what the hell is wrong with
Paul
McCartney?
Just kidding. I know you're into that whole thing, but you don't force it down other people's throats.
No. All right, Mike, here you go. Want to play a game?
Sure.
I'm real excited about this game tonight. I'm excited about this game like it's almost football season.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it's a big final. Man.
My God, did I find out today the wait is just around the corner. It's June 15th. Can I tell you on August 9th, the Hall of Fame game?
It's August 9th this year?
August 9th, the Hall of Fame game. That means less than 2 months away from preseason football.
Wow.
Yeah.
You're an excitable boy.
I'm loving it. The NBA, though, was also very excited. I want to see the Pistons kill the Lakers tonight. Mike?
Yes?
What percentage of NBA players have police records? For instance, out of every 10 players in the NBA, and we're not even going to talk about guys like, because, you know, listen, it's no secret that 6 years ago I was popping little weed. I learned my lesson.
Right.
I pass on grass.
Right.
I'll give these same guys the same pass.
I would say
grass or coke, whatever it is. What percentage of NBA players have police records that involve serious crimes? Taking out possession and stuff like that. What percentage of current NBA players have police records?
I'll say 8%.
Buzz.
I'll say 15%.
Fellas, try 40%.
40%?
40%.
I mean, serious, like records, where convictions and stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, I mean, you realize that a lot of the NBA players come from tough neighborhoods.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's why.
Growing up in
past. Listen, I think Larry Bird said it all for all of us.
Right.
You know, we need more whites.
Larry Bird.
We need more whites in the NBA.
The big idiot Larry Bird.
That's Larry Bird. That's, okay, I got almost everything.
Have to realize that the percentage of people that get busted, you know, in those situations because of the situation they're in.
I know,
there's a lot more of that police activity.
It's fun to say.
You can make a case for that, too.
Four out of ten. That's all I'm saying. 4 out of 10 NBA
40%
players.
Less than half.
That's all I'm saying. Yeah, thank you. There you go, Buzz. There's a glass half full.
Yeah.
And now, because that was really a downer, how about not one, but two feel-good stories.
I love your feel-good stories.
I'll just give you the headline on the first one. Tampa woman kills niece after mistaking her for intruder.
Oh, dear.
Mm. Rob loves it.
Well, Rob, there's no accounting for taste. Rob, see, Rob doesn't understand the feel-good
story. No, Rob doesn't understand. No. Rob has trouble understanding feel-good stories.
A woman who was nervous after three recent burglaries, and this is really not, this is just a preamble to the feel-good.
Right.
A woman who was nervous after three recent burglaries at her home shot and killed her niece, who she mistook for an intruder when the 33-year-old tried to enter the house. Rebecca Brown, 63, said she kept a gun wrapped in a towel in a drawer beside her bed. She had never pulled the trigger until she killed her niece.
That's a good shot.
She grabbed the shot after she heard noises that sounded like someone was coming in her house. She realized her mistake when she heard her niece scream, "Auntie, it's me. It's me."
Yeah, guns don't kill people. People kill people, right? Right. Is that what they say?
Yes.
But my...
And having a gun in the home is a good idea?
Hey,
what happened?
No, it's machine number 6 again, for goodness sakes. Try it one more time. Okay, but there's one more feel-good.
Another feel-good story?
Yeah, because that one's bordering on tragedy.
Yeah, absolutely.
Sure is.
Here's the feel-good.
You think?
A homeless man.
Jesus. Already we're laughing.
A homeless man was arrested on Monday in Los Angeles after beheading a 91-year-old screenwriter and stabbing the man's neighbor to death.
Jesus.
Outside a Hollywood studio minutes after his photograph was broadcast on television. I told you it's a feel-good. Guy's name is Ken Graff.
The writer?
Arrested Monday night. I don't think that one. Kevin Graff.
The attacker.
Arrested Monday night after guards at Paramount Studios recognized him from seeing him on the local news.
Mm.
Screenwriter Robert Lees, who wrote Abbott and Costello Battle Frankenstein. What was the name of the movie?
Meet Frankenstein?
Yes.
He killed that guy?
He cut his head off.
Oh, my God.
He cut his head off, and then he stabbed the guy's neighbor to death, and then he went to work at Paramount Studios.
Wow.
And they said, hey, didn't we just see you on TV? Didn't you just cut the head off the 91-year-old guy who wrote the Abbott and Costello movie?
Whoa!
So there you go. That's the, That's the feel-good. There you go.
How about that?
How about
wacky
that?
Wacky world.
Uh-huh.
It is a wacky world, Rob.
There you go. A homeless man suspected of beheading a 91-year-old screenwriter and stabbing the man's neighbor to death was arrested outside Paramount Pictures.
He was homeless?
He was homeless.
Did he go to work at Paramount? But he had a job, huh?
You know, he had a job at Paramount.
Oh, he was bad.
And his job had fallen through at Paramount Pictures.
No wonder.
Homeless.
And he snapped.
You know, drinking out of a bag one day saying, you know who I'd like to kill? The guy that wrote Abbott and Costello Meet Frankenstein.
Jesus.
And it's one of their better movies, really.
I think so. Don't lose your head over it now.
Wow.
You're crazy. Okay, so you feel better now? There's
sure
some feel-good stuff.
Feel-good stories.
We didn't even get to the... Tomorrow we got to talk about Leona Helmsley at Alzheimer's.
Yeah.
Because for the Queen of Mean...
Take me home.
There's so many great things that she's doing now.
Take me home.
And all the Reagan jokes that we didn't feel were appropriate,
right?
We can use here with Leona Helmsley. And the stuff about Rush Limbaugh, you got to hear about this too, because he's alleging that she was getting something on the side.
Oh, really?
Hmm. And she's alleging that he was doing something hinky. So she says she filed on him, and he says he filed on her.
Well, we already know that he's a sneak.
Marta, I bet you on CompuServe.
These are the best baby blues you've ever furnished me with. I feel so good. Pain has gone. Hands no longer clammy. Feeling horny.
Marta.
Must file. Marta, it's time to face the music.
Music, Jeff Christie.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is a smear tactic. She's lying about me also. Everybody's out to get me.
Sure.
Marta.
Paranoid.
Marta. I want to say, the quote was something, Buzz, during the break, you're going to have to go to RushLimbaugh.com and find the quote where it's something, it's like when he first started talking about the OxyContin.
Right. Ladies and gentlemen, it was Rush Limbaugh. On an afternoon, I would pop 8 or 10 OxyContins, and my supplier, Martin, and I would luxuriate by the pool, enjoying each other's company and the wonderful sweet nectar. That is OxyContin.
The baby blues.
Coursing through my bloodstream, causing me to experience feelings I never would feel under normal conditions, and causing me to immediately become amorous.
Wow.
with my supplier.
Okay, we're up on a break. Like I said, funny man. He is. He's funnier than we are. Patton Oswalt.
Yeah.
And we come right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Rob is a whore.
WKFK. This is the Don and Mike Show.
Saturday night in America's heartland, and the Colemans are enjoying a sizzling plate of monkey fajitas. Thursday's a great night for monkey kebabs. And hey, Mom, after school, the kids really love fried monkey fingers. Grab it by the tail, throw it in the skillet. Tasty, nutritious, in just 20 minutes from cage to plate. Mmm, monkey. It's what's for dinner.
The Don and Mike Show. Can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. They're ready to believe you.
Right. Ghetto-licious.
This is Ghetto-licious.
Zero tolerance for stupidity. The Don and Mike Show.
Here we go with Patton Oswalt. Hey, Patton.
Hey, guys.
Here he is. Patton Oswalt, everybody.
Yeah.
One of my favorites of all time. And that's with the scene.
Yay.
It's not like the guy that shot the president. It's
no, no connection.
Patton Oswalt.
Well, we changed it. I mean, it's always been T.
Patton Oswalt.
And when did they stop harassing you over the Kennedy assassination, Patton?
Right after Shrek 2 came out. 2 weeks.
Patton is... Patton is a really a funny man.
Yes, he is.
We mean that. We're not being condescending. We're not trying
get
to
get it out.
Yes, but you are. Okay, you're very, very funny. I hate kissing ass, but you're very, very funny. And you have a new CD out. Now, here's the only thing that worries me about this CD. I was told that the people have to go to your website to get it. Is it one of those things?
No, it's... Well, you can buy it off my website. You can also go to Amazon. It'll be in stores everywhere.
There you go.
United Musicians. It's everywhere.
Thank you for that, because I've been told that this was like one of those projects. I had assumed that you were like printing these in your basement. So you can go to Amazon.com. You go to...
I'm selling them out of my trunk. I have a... I'm at the corner of Franklin and Vermont in Hollywood. You must go there.
Patton Oswalt. With a T, .com.
T.
Now,
yes.
I want to tell you something. He's a dirty, dirty bird.
Oh, he's a dirty birdie.
He's a dirty birdie.
Right.
But we have a couple of clips from the album.
We have some clips.
Boy.
That I think we've taken some of the dirty words out of. That we can
hope so. Well, you know, we have to be careful now, Patton. You know that.
No, are you kidding? Thank Janet Jackson.
Right. So here you go now. Oh, and Patton, besides your stand-up, are you going to be back with Lisa Remedy on King of Queens?
They're finally going to break. You mean Leah Remini?
Yeah, Lisa
yeah.
Remini.
Yeah.
God, I'm so confused. Yes, she's having her baby, and then we'll start again, and we all start up in August.
Will you pass along our best wishes? Since, to the best of our knowledge, we are now dead to her.
Please. Tell
I will bring that up at the first table read. Just to see what she says.
Yeah, yeah.
The first table read for King of Queens.
Do you think we're ready? Are we ready to extend the olive branch and try to mend fences with Leah Remini?
I don't think so. She's still very.
I think she's going to hate us forever.
She's
yeah.
still very pregnant, which means she's still very moody.
Yeah, we'll have to wait till after she has the baby.
You know, let her come back to earth a little bit.
Yeah, she can go back to being less moody after the baby. What's that, Patton?
I'd wait for the hormones to settle down.
Okay.
Right.
All right, no problem.
Listen, enough about her. It just, you know, you're on the TV show, King of Queens, and he does killer stand-up, and he has a CD. And here's one of the cuts from the CD. It's about midgets.
Okay?
And, Patton, good for you. I like using the word. I get told by dwarfs.
Well, we had a very good friend, and still a good friend, Scott the Dwarf, who used to, you know, lunge at your throat when you would say
said
that.
The M word is like the N word, but, you know, what the a midget. Sorry, it's funny.
Right, and of course around Washington, D.C., Patton's from the area. They used to have an area around Virginia called Midgetville.
Right. Nice.
Have we ever discussed that with you?
Wait a minute, there was a place...
Did you know this? This is true.
We did a whole...
About, I've read about midget villages where they have everything scaled down to their height.
And this is in Northern Virginia. It's an actual place. As I recall, didn't couples used to go to make out in Midgetville? And
Rob, you know more about Midgetville.
As I recall, it's in the neighborhood of Vienna.
Yeah,
it really is.
And Midgetville, and it was an area that was set up by the circus, I think.
Well, Barnum and Bailey, they're corporately headquartered in McLean.
In McLean, and they set up Midgetville very nearby.
Is Midgetville still there?
I think Midgetville still exists.
Yes, we had people call us and say they drive through the area all the time. It's one of three reasons they drive through. It's either a dive bomb thing.
That is so awesome.
That they want.
I didn't even know that. When I come home, I'm going to come home in July. I'm going to visit there.
Midgetville, and I think people still visit there. And should people still live there? We get called. We're going to get calls on it because people are going to know exactly what.
If anybody knows about Midgetville, call Patton because he's from the D.C. area. He'll be back this summer. He can go there. And
that'd be so good because I could get drunk and rampage the town like King Kong. So good for my self-esteem.
Here's Patton from his new CD about midgets.
Here are some facts about midgets. A lot of you probably don't know. I read this in Discover magazine. Don't dispute me. If you hit a midget on the head with a stick, he turns into 40 gold coins. You know that? 40 glittering gold coins you can take to the market and buy a fine fat goose for your goodly wife. Also, if you throw a midget into a tub of hot water, he makes sleepy time tea. Oh, isn't that great? A big tub of chamomile. Thanks, Mr. Scoops. Also, if you kick a midget in the balls, he turns into 8 squirrels and they run off into the forest. But here's the thing. Be careful, because if you lose a fight to a midget, you become one. Did you know that? It's true. At the beginning of time, there was one midget. Everyone's like, come on, motherfucker. Now look around. They're everywhere. They're everywhere. Let that be a lesson. Just walk away. Be the bigger man. Literally.
Were you high during that set?
I was very drunk, and I get drunker as the evening goes on because people kept handing me up wine.
No, listen, buying an album of stand-up in this day and age, I don't think it's almost unheard of. It's got to be something that's so funny that people just can't stand to be without it. Like back in the day when you would buy a Cheech and Chong record.
Sure, right,
you would
exactly.
Play it, you would
all their stuff.
You would play it endlessly. I would do that with George Carlin. I would do that. I've got a bunch of Chris Rock CDs.
Right,
that,
right.
You know,
like
recorded in concert. So there is an audience for this, and you should know that unlike the lovable character Spence,
right,
that he plays on the Lisa Remedy show,
his stand-up comedy, I think, is some of the funniest and edgiest stuff that you're going to hear. It's wonderful.
It's
very unique. It's very him, and you don't hear anybody else doing that kind of stuff.
I had the pleasure of listening to the whole CD today, trying to find 3 cuts that would be appropriate for our program,
right?
And I was really laughing the whole way.
Well, I saw Patton the last time he was in town. I've never done this. I never imagine I will ever do this again. I actually went to his show twice. At the Improv, it was that it's terrific. It's really, really unique, and that example that you played, that's his kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it's wacky. I mean, it's great. I really enjoy it.
Oh man, guys, thank you. This is the one radio show that I specifically requested to do, not to turn this into a butt kissing festival.
Well, that's okay.
You're the one that doesn't make me want to stab myself in the forehead with a fork.
No, but you talked about you grew up listening to this show. You followed this show, and we know that, and we appreciate it. We really do.
I was Sean and Mike nerd. Like, I knew stuff that would make you guys want to mace me. You know, like, okay, you should know all that.
All right, hold on.
Remember the broadcast on February 17th, 1985?
Okay, enough of the mutual admiration. I want to play another cut from the CD.
Okay,
because this is good publicity for a friend of ours who has a really, really funny CD.
Are you doing now? Are you going on tour? Are you going to be touring around the country?
I'm going to do a big West Coast tour in September of like rock, because I recorded the CD at a rock club. I recorded it at the 40 Watt in Athens.
Okay.
So I'm going to do a bunch of stuff.
Did you say you recorded this in Iraq?
Yes, I went over to Iraq.
Yeah, in a rock club.
A rock club in Baghdad.
And then I'm going to do a bunch of West Coast stuff, and then I'm going to try to come back to the D.C. Improv in the fall. We're working on that now, because that club is amazing.
And, Patton, just a personal aside, why is it that you're not on Last Comic Standing?
Because I hate that show.
So do I, and I knew you would. I knew you would. They're the worst.
It's painful to watch it this season because so many of my, genuine friends are on that show. like Todd Glass and Bonnie McFarlane and Jim Norton, and I got to sit there and watch them. Just tonight's episode is so painful to watch.
You've already talked to the guys.
I know how the whole thing turns out.
Oh, you know who wins or loses.
Well, I don't know the final thing, but I know who gets into the house and everything.
You know, you should ask him because you made me. You suggested I watch that show, Comedian.
Oh,
I'd love to ask Patton
movie.
About Orny.
Now, have you seen the Jerry Seinfeld movie, Comedian?
I did. I saw it, and it's weird because I went there wanting to hate it, like, oh, this billionaire flying around in a jet to do clothes. It was actually kind of inspiring because he really does care about writing new stuff.
Did you believe that's sincere, the way he behaves during that movie? You think that's sincere?
Yeah, he really did. You know, it's something that you never, ever stop doing. You always, people that are like, I just want to do comedy and then get a sitcom so I can get out of it. That's not why you do comedy.
And Pat, what about the other guy, the other comedian that they followed who was very full of himself?
Oh.
He's going to be on our show on Friday.
Orny Adams. What do you think of Orny there?
I don't know him personally. I just think that film made him look really bad.
Yeah.
So, but I could judge people by how I see them in documentaries, because for all I know, they can cut anything to make anyone look any way they want.
Right. Yeah, but you know
what I mean?
Well, you know, one of the things I thought watching that movie, Comedian, I thought they were kind of serving Orny up a little bit,
mm-hmm.
you know, to make Jerry
look but there
good.
Was enough of Jerry to make Jerry Seinfeld look like an ass in that movie.
Right.
If you took the Orny part out, the guy is just...
But, I mean, Orny just overwhelmed. I mean, talk about neurotic. Are there many guys on the circuit, Pat? I mean, I know comedians come from mostly a very dark place, but are there guys that are that neurotic like that guy seemed to be?
Orny Adams is actually kind of a gentler example of some of the more neurotic people we have out there.
Really? Wow.
He's actually pretty calm compared to some of the people out there, trust me.
Patton, I've just been handed this, not a lie. Today is Lisa Remedy's 34th birthday.
Really?
Is it really?
June 15th, 1970 in Bensonhurst.
Wow.
Birth name, Lisa Remedy. But no, we just got it off
really?
IMDb, whatever.
Well, happy birthday to Leah.
Right. Here's another cut from Patton's CD.
Oh, here we go.
It's another good one. Mm. Listen to this one. This is funny. This guy's like the white Chris Rock. Please listen.
I got my TiVo as a gift. It's the greatest gift I've ever...
Let me just preface this by saying...
This is great. I remember the TiVo bit from when he was at the improv.
That's right. Truly inspired, and if you own TiVo... Just prepare.
This is great.
Prepare to wet yourself.
I'm psyched about it.
Here we go.
I got my TiVo as a gift. It's the greatest gift I've ever received. Greater even than the gift of life. That is how great my TiVo is. TiVo is a little robot, and it sits on top of your TV, and it reaches down into the TV, and it grabs TV shows and puts it in its little robot brain. Wee, wee, wee. And then it plays the shows back for you later. And as you start to watch shows, TiVo starts to learn what you like and don't like based on what you've already watched.
Listen to this.
Like, it'll go, well, if he liked that, he'll love this. It'll start to record shows all on its own. All on its own. It learns what you like and dislike. It's like watching a child grow. Just without all the in its pants and then stabbing you in your sleep when it turns 16. It's perfect. Now, here's the thing about the TiVo. The first couple weeks you have it, it's like working with a special ed kid. And this is why, all right? The TiVo so wants to do a good job. It wants to get an A+, wants to get a thumbs up. It wants to get remember that little sticker that says grape job and there's a little bunch of grapes with a smiley face and you scratch it and it smells like grapes? Oh, it wants that sticker so bad! So it will record shows based on the most f***ed up criteria. You know? Like the first day that I had it, I recorded The Man from Laramie, one of the best westerns ever made. Anthony Mann directing, Jimmy Stewart, brilliant. I go to sleep, I wake up the next day, overnight, TiVo went f***ing ape. And it recorded 15 children's shows like Uncle Salty's Lighthouse. And I realized all the shows TiVo recorded had horses in them. TiVo, no! No, TiVo, that's not what it... But no, you like the horsey shows! You said that you'd like the horsey... No, TiVo? TiVo. No. TiVo? I have to delete all this stuff now, TiVo. You are lying! Thank God you don't have retard strength, TiVo. My car would be in the tree.
Yeah.
We don't play cuts from albums.
No way.
That is.
What a great way to sell my album. I'm making fun of midgets and the mentally.
That is some funny ass, and the stuff that we can't play is
right.
Even funnier.
Yeah, it's fantastic, and you know, I really love great comedy, and I saw the guy twice. You really should pick up this album. I can't wait to. I'm going to listen to it on the way home. Tonight.
When you mm-hmm. now you mentioned you're going to be here in July. You going to come by?
Oh, definitely. Okay, oh yeah, good. I got to come by because I've listened to all those CDs you guys gave me to death. I need new stuff.
All right, very good.
Come by in July. Stuff. Let me just say, if you go to Patton Oswalt with a T.com, right. You can buy the CD there.
Ah.
But that's like for a loser guy like Dennis Murphy. I mean, right. Eventually it'll be on Amazon.com.
And when's it going to go wide, like through the record stores and all that?
That'll be on Tuesday, June 29th.
Very good.
Okay, big day for our friend Patton Oswalt. The album, the CD is called Feeling Kind of Patton. He's feeling kind of patent today.
Oh, very nice.
So now about you, just
feeling kind of patent.
Feeling
yeah.
kind of patent. You know, you got all the magic words in there for me: midget, retard,
well,
TiVo.
You're excited,
boy. Am I happy? That's a joke right there. You just come on stage and say midget, TiVo, retard.
Good night, everybody.
That's it. It's like okay. Show complete. Pat, hey, listen. Always great to talk to you. We will talk at length when you come to town in July.
I'll be there in person.
Okay, we'll see you then.
Bye, Patton.
Can't wait to see you, man. Bye.
Okay, we'll see you too. Bye-bye.
Bye.
That's Patton Oswalt. He is really funny as the S word.
Yeah. I mean, there's something about it. And, you know, when you see him up on stage, you know, he is kind of like gnome-like.
Yes.
He really is. And he's just, and to hear that stuff come out of him, it's fantastic.
And when I mentioned Chris Rock, he's not political like Chris Rock, and he's a little
political.
But Chris Rock will,
you know, as a matter of fact, if you go see his, I don't know if it's on his album. In fact, there's one segment that's very political. And it's actually very funny.
But he shares Chris Rock's enthusiasm and the fact that they're talking about things that you don't normally talk about. And
he does a bit on George Bush and compassion that is one of the funniest things I've ever heard.
But not even Chris Rock talks about turning dwarves into gold pieces.
No, he doesn't. Listen, phone scan time. Thank you, Patton Oswalt. Phone scan time right here. And right now, get on the line to get on the air. We'll take your calls. Come on, retards, midgets, Steve-O's. Call us. 877-365-3636 from America. Canada, 800-636-1067. Washington, D.C., 202-432-1067. This call. Sound effect means it's time for the rotating random phone scan. All right. We take your calls there on screen. Call now, you animals. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
You can't go to China. What about your job?
Job?
No, write a letter, move to another borough, move to Staten Island. It's a lot easier to blend in with a sea of people in Staten Island than China, believe me.
Yeah, Staten Island. What about my clothes? How do I get the rest of the clothes?
Well, you come back for your clothes.
I'm not going back in there.
So forget about your clothes.
Well, I'm not starting up a whole new wardrobe now!
Look, freedom and no clothes is a lot better than no freedom with clothes.
Well, should we just take a plane somewhere?
And what, hope for a crash?
It happens.
You know what the odds are on a crash? It's a million to one.
It's something. It's hope.
The Don and Mike Show. Now in their 20th season, it's the Don and Mike Show.
Right, right.
It's a rainy afternoon.
Here we go at 877-365-3636.
The big city.
Surprising you with some Igster.
Jeez, it's been 20 years.
Igster Pop.
Wow.
Iggy Pop. Yeah, Igster Pop. Yeah, there you go.
He still manages to look stunning.
He does. God, he's dreamy.
He is.
877-365-3636. Phone scan, here we go.
All right.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
Hello.
I like me some of the Iggy Pop.
Sure.
Yeah. I don't like to look at him. I like to listen to some of him.
Oh, I like to look at him.
Oh, it's because you love his ass.
Yeah, just like Buzz.
Hello, you're on the air. Phone scan.
Yeah, I was wondering about the Laker game, what you guys think.
About the Laker game, what we guys think.
Yeah.
Go Kings.
Absolutely.
We root for the Sacramento Kings, sir.
Oh, yeah. Go Detroit.
Thanks for paying attention. Right. Hey, hold on a second.
Yeah, I got much sports.
More important call coming in right here. Hi, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Mike.
Yeah, hi, you're on the air.
You know, I moved my cat's litter about a week ago.
Yes.
And she's peeing in every yacht in the room.
My wife is going to have to learn this the hard way.
Another example, though, of cats soiling the house. Which is what they do.
No. Yes, they do. If you train them and if you bring them up in a house of love, they eventually know to go in the litter box.
That's right.
When they're mad, they go everywhere else.
Why do you think the cat is mad?
Well, I'll tell you why the cat is mad. It's my cat. Now we're going three hours back in the show. Mm-hmm. My cat is mad because we have dogs that we lavish attention on, and to be honest, the cat is like a forgotten member of the
family. How can you lavish attention on a cat? How can you lavish attention on an animal that doesn't want anything to do with you?
I will give you a good example. I'll go home tonight, I'll go up to the office, and right away the first thing I'll hear will be, when I get done with the dogs downstairs, mm-hmm. when I go upstairs, I'll hear... And then there's like a little, pardon the pun, cat and mouse game.
Okay.
Where I go over in the corner, go, come here for a ball, come here. And she doesn't come over here, come here, come here. Finally, I grab her, and then it's like 20 minutes of that nonstop. Mm-hmm. And she also does this thing with the, or he, whatever it is, I don't know if it's a he or a she, does the thing with the paws, like going up against my face.
Right.
Which is something that I read somewhere that's what they did when they would suckle.
Right, for milk.
They did. Yeah. Much like Jennifer Aniston's new baby.
I find that highly disturbing.
If Jennifer Aniston is having a baby.
It's the second time I've said that during the show that I find that disturbing.
Hello, Don and Mike show. But no, my
you
wife...
You 20 minutes with your cat every night?
Yeah, but you know why? Because it's no maintenance. I'm going through the mail. All the cat wants to do is sit on my lap, and occasionally I just have to lavish a little attention, and because it's a cat... After a couple of minutes, frankly, the cat's bored with it.
Mm-hmm.
The cat just wants your attention for a couple of seconds, not like a dog.
Okay.
You know, with a dog... The
dog will keep coming.
With my dog...
I mean, at you.
Mm-hmm. Well, and...
Well, I don't know about
there's
that.
Peanut butter involved.
Oh, dear.
The dogs love peanut butter.
They do.
But the great thing about dogs is, and this is where they do have it all over cats, you can walk outside your house...
Right.
Just hide
mm-hmm.
for 5 seconds... Walk back in, and to your dogs...
Yeah, it's been 24 hours.
Where you been?
You've been gone like a month.
Sure, absolutely. It's wonderful. That's what makes dogs so much better than cats.
Meanwhile, the cat would look at you and say, I'm not getting excited because, dude, you just walked outside and walked right back in.
Sure.
They're very smart.
Or you could be bleeding, you know, and your dog would whine, and the cat would be like, oh, get away from me.
Hello, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Don and Mike, this is Craig out of Wichita.
Hi there.
Hey, Buzz, what's up?
Hey.
Hey, do you guys watch NASCAR at all?
Yes, yeah, we all do, except Buzz.
Buzz, yeah.
Did you catch Sunday's race?
I did, and I was telling Mike about this off the air. Some of the greatest stuff that I've ever seen.
The greatest stuff is causing NASCAR to clamp down now, right?
Yeah, there was stuff. It was Kevin Harvick, getting some of the names wrong. Matt Kenseth, and I know Michael Waltrip went up in behind a guy, and like guys were, it was like a demolition derby. I think
guys were taking runs at each other.
It was a high speed demo derby.
Guys would just drive around the track to run into other guys. It was great.
Anybody got hurt?
No, nobody. And that's the great thing about
nobody got hurt.
That's the great thing about NASCAR is that very rarely does somebody get hurt. Of course, we all watch it,
right?
You know,
thinking maybe
a part of us think maybe it'll be like Dale Jr. again.
Watch out, or Dale Sr.
Yeah, oh, I'm sorry, right. Dale Sr. Right? Oh Jesus, strike that! Yeah. We could never lose Dale Jr.
No way.
Although when Michael Waltrip got slammed up against the wall,
right?
It seemed to me as he was going to the care center, going to the ambulance. The only thing he really cared about was America seeing his incredibly bad comb over. Because when he got out of the car and took the hand device off, the thing on his neck, and his helmet off, I swear to God.
I thought he had a big head of hair.
I'm telling you, all his concern was holding his hand on the right side of his head. And at first I thought...
Like maybe he has a tube or something?
He had a head injury, and then someone said something, he turned away... And it's just like it's like Tony Kornheiser hair. I mean, it's all of the hair is on the right side.
Really?
And it's a gigantic flip and comb over to the other side.
I had no idea.
Wow.
I saw it myself.
It's incredible.
Michael Waltrip's hair is not incredible.
I thought Michael Waltrip seriously would like had a big bushy head of hair.
I don't think so. And that seemed to be any NASCAR fans that were watching the race on Sunday from Pocono, you call and tell me when he got out of the car and he went to the care center, all he cared about was holding his hair down so people couldn't see that he's really like halfway bald.
So he went to the hair care center.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
And he's not feeling too perky, Dodd.
Hair care.
Hair care.
Hello.
Hello, Dodd.
Hey, you're doing a major bill thing. What can we do for you?
I found out I'm your pappy, and I haven't gotten my cat and pick and Cadillac yet.
The guy's saying he's your father, and he wants a Cadillac.
And that's the contest. Prove you're my daddy, win a caddy.
That didn't do it.
Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, you're on the air.
This program's more fun than a beer hall. Yeah, boys.
Interesting.
Thank you. Thank you for ejecting.
Yeah, Rob, I think that was for you.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, you're on the air. Howdy.
Hey, oh God.
Hi.
Star Busto. Hey.
Oh, too bad we lost
him. Oh, that's too bad. Hello, Don and Mike show. Please send us a letter.
Radio God.
Hi.
Hi. Kevin from California.
Send it to Don and Mike show, North Pole.
It always gets there.
Hi, what can we do for you, Kevin?
Yeah, I wondered if you saw that Fox show last night, Casino.
Mm. I heard good things about it.
Yeah, I do have a TiVo because we were out of that charity thing. How was it?
I hear it's hilarious. I hear it's fantastic.
Pretty good?
Yeah.
Oh, man. The best part was this millionaire guy blows into town. These two guys bought a brand new casino. Well, not brand new. It's an old Gold Nugget.
Right. They're doing a whole refurbishment.
Right.
But,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. This guy goes in, and he goes in the casino with a girl on his arm and has all this money and comes up to this blackjack table, sees this guy talking to a real good-looking girl, puts all this money down, picks up this girl in a matter of minutes. This guy, he's 6'8", he's a millionaire. He thinks he is a gambler, I guess, and just faces this guy, just totally rude to this guy, and takes this girl upstairs. And it's so funny because the little guy that gets taken advantage of.
I'm lost. Yeah. I'm lost on
Thank
this
you,
story.
Friend.
Sorry.
It's
fascinating.
We had
too
a better,
many guys and uh-huh. faces. And,
we had a better time understanding that girl trying to figure out the goofy dating show that we had on today for love or money.
But we do enjoy your work on the Prairie Home Companion, Garrison.
Hello. Don and Mike show.
Sorry.
You got him. Hey, well, Don and Mike.
Yeah, hi. You're on the air.
Yeah, I was just wanted to talk about the Stepford Wives movie that you guys saw over the weekend.
It's great because the beginning of the Stepford Wives, they all get bad cell phones.
Right.
Hi, Don and Mike show. You're on the air. Hello. Oh, that's another Stepford Wives call.
They're all bad.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hi.
No cell phones are working.
See, the
now.
Phone, no, the phone scan fools people because these are not screen calls. We're just punching it down and you're
right.
on the air.
And they're shocked.
Yeah. Hello, Don.
Hey, Mike. Hey, Buzz Burbank.
Hi there.
Hey. Hi. Listen, guys, I'm a bit of a buzzaholic. I love my daily Buzzcast, and lately I'm just finding that the Buzzcast is starting later and later and later in the show.
No, it ain't.
It isn't.
Pretty much on time.
No, it ain't.
Well, used to start almost, you could almost count on it starting around 5 after 6.
I don't know what show you were listening to, dude, but the show that I'm working on here with the rest of the guys,
yeah,
the news really used to start about 6:30.
Used to always start about 6:30.
And Buzz would have like 5 minutes. It's absolutely the opposite now. Get out of my bunk. Get out of here. There's only room enough for one guy in there. Hello, Don and Mike's show. And then, and that guy incidentally is me. And it's my head up there.
Yes. And you know, if he stays in there, you're going to do something he's not going to like.
We have plenty of time for Buzz today. Hello, Don and Mike show.
You know, you guys are missing the most impressive part about the NASCAR race this weekend.
What was that?
I mean, even though they're about to win game 17 of the NBA Finals tonight, the Sacramento Kings actually won. It was crazy.
Okay, all right. Hi, Don and Mike show. Hello.
Hey, Don and Mike, if you could make one joint out of 6 roaches, how many joints could you make out of 36 roaches?
This is a math question. So if you make 6.
No, 7. Roll 6, smoke 6, 6 more roaches, 7 joints.
All right, thanks for checking in.
You know,
my pleasure.
What was it?
You know, I think he's right.
God. I found that as confusing as I found the love or money thing with which girl gets the $1 million check.
Yeah, but you know, I don't know whether we consider that guy the authority, what with all the brain damage.
Hello. Don and Mike show, hello.
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 I'm your dad.
No, you're not. You're not my dad. You don't get the car. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hello.
Hi there.
How are you today?
Oh, a guy doing Julia, so to speak.
Yeah. Hey. An impression.
Hey.
Hello.
Hi there. You're on the air. What can we do for you?
Hey, where's our third clip from that comedian? I thought we were getting 3 of them.
Clips from the comedian?
Oh, I do have to. We'll play one tomorrow as a rejoiner. It's nearly 5 minutes long, and as it turns out, it needs a little more editing.
A little editing, yeah. Patton peppers some of his commentary with choice profanity.
But I promise we'll play it tomorrow.
Beautiful.
Thank you for asking, because that is worth hearing. Patton Oswalt is.
I was even so into it, I played one for Don and Rob about steak.
during the break.
It's funny. About
really
like the all-you-can-eat buffet places?
Yeah.
God damn, is he fun.
Check out his website. He also has a diary on there in which he comments about shows he's done. And one of the most recent ones is called, Just Because You're Getting Married Doesn't Mean You Can F Up My Show.
Hello, Don and Mike's show.
Hi.
Hi there.
I just wanted to let you guys know, you probably already know, but Rob the Jerk, I hate him.
Yeah, we know that.
Thanks for calling. Would you like to speak to him?
No.
We'll talk tonight. Bye, Carrie.
Hello, Don and Mike's show. Hello.
Hi.
Hi, you're on the air.
Two things.
Yes, ma'am.
First, you could just teach your cat to crap in the toilet and you won't have to worry about a cat box.
I mentioned that earlier. I've seen that on the TV on Mr. Jinx on Meet the Parents.
Easy.
Mike, that's not a real that's
a real cat.
Real cats do that.
No, yeah. It's a very simple thing that you can go to your pet store.
Hey, wait a minute. Is it all that simple?
Well, yeah. One of my cats would and one wouldn't, so I had to give up on both.
It still would have been a problem up until recently because the toilet was broken in your house.
That's right. That's
right. You almost had to use a litter box.
Took 3 months to get the bathroom done.
How can it be simple for a cat when it's...
Robert De Niro's...
...did and one didn't, so I gave up.
All right. And what else can we do for
you,
darling?
The second thing, how big of a TiVo do you have? How many hours...
About 12 inches. Oh, I'm sorry. You were speaking. I thought you were talking code.
No.
TiVo, I got, I don't know, I think it's a 40-hour thing that I got.
You tape everything in the entire world. How can you only have a 40-hour TiVo?
Because I go through it very quickly and decided every day the excitement is going through TiVo and seeing,
Delete now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Okay.
All
right. I'm just curious.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Your TiVo is... much more sophisticated than the one Patton was talking about.
Hello, Mike.
Your TiVo would sound like, hello, Don.
Yeah.
Here's what we have for you today.
Yeah, my TiVo and I have an intimate relationship.
Absolutely.
Now, listen, you'll be so glad to know Letterman was a repeat tonight. I chose not to record that. Instead, please enjoy James Kimmel this evening.
I am your sophisticated TiVo.
I only got mad at TiVo once recently.
Really?
Because I never put in the like favorites thing to have TiVo look.
Right.
But one of the things I did put in was Robert De Niro.
Okay.
And Mike, you mentioned because Casino was on the other
night. Yeah, Casino was on last
night.
So,
I went to TiVo today, and it had recorded maybe the worst movie ever. I don't remember the name of it, but it's Robert De Niro and Meryl Streep.
Oh, absolutely.
Where they meet on a train somewhere, and they fall in love, and it's just...
It's like Lovers or something like that.
It's Lovers on a train, and a guy with a big hairy mole on the side of his face.
It's horrible.
It's, Robert De Niro, bad. And then I said, bad TiVo.
You like your Robert De Niro as a tough guy.
I'll tell you what, I'm waiting for TiVo to pick up, and I guess I got to put the title in. Heat.
Maybe your fate with Al Pacino and
Al
Robert
Pacino,
De Niro.
Val Kilmer, the great underrated Tom Sizemore. Hello, Donna Micho. Tom Sizemore is just a dork.
And he's in real life, I think he's a little messed up.
Right.
Crazy.
Hi, Donna Micho show.
Hi, Donna Mike. Maybe you can help me out.
Yes, ma'am. What can we do for you?
I keep getting my jet plays confused with my colored plays. No offense. Eject.
Okay.
That was a child calling, I believe.
Is it really? Hi, Donna Mike show.
Guided
Franks and Beans.
What was that?
Franks and Beans.
Franks and Beans? Right. Donna Mike show. Hello.
Hi, they finally got you back on the air in Vegas.
All right.
Hey, Justin, thank you for the update.
Thank you for the update. Hi, Donna Mike show.
Donna Mike, could you please remember to flip the switch so I can pick you up on high definition on the radio?
Yeah, well, and hey, good timing for you.
Yeah.
They're a good caller. It's a funny call at Channel 7. Turn the goddamn HD on. Listen, you're the last caller. What is your name?
My name is Frank.
Frank, where are you from?
Springfield.
All right, Frank, get ready. Here you go. You've got the HBO Curb Your Enthusiasm second season box set DVD. Just out today. Don't miss this opportunity to collect the next 10 half-hour episodes. Available from HBO Video. But wait, there's more. Are you still there?
Yes.
Hope you like the wrestling, because we have fourth row seats. Win them before you can buy them. WWE Monday Night Raw live at MCI Center Monday, July 19, with over 25 of your favorite WWE superstars. But wait, there's still more.
You're good to me.
Here you go. Tickets to see the Orioles play the Boston Red Sox.
Whoa. Made my day.
July 26th. That is courtesy of Comcast Sportsnet. But wait. Also, tickets to see Stephen Wright He's another guy, used to be funny as hell. I'm guessing he still is.
Probably I think still he still is, absolutely.
Yeah. Stephen Wright at the Warner Theater.
To bring good news to his people. He made it up.
You see, for those of you with the format at home, you know this is the time we go to buzz.
That's right.
10 after 6.
Nine minutes after 6, let the record show you started the buzz music.
Absolutely. Buzz, what is your lead story tonight on the news and the comments?
Today, the state of Virginia tells its men to stop dating young girls.
Well, hold on. I'm looking for a tape here.
Mike O'Mara.
Hey, come on.
Mike O'Mara.
Even younger.
Mike O'Mara.
Mike O'Mara. She's got a valid driver's license.
So says you. I saw her the other night picking you up down there on her bicycle made for two.
Stay tuned for news and comment coming up on the Don and Mike Show.
It was very...
You professional.
Yeah.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
The Don and Mike Show.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
Okay, okay.
Working delightfully non-blue.
Right.
Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Right.
What's the word from Planet Crackpot?
I have a buzz now. News and comment brought to you by Smoke Break. Smoke Break.
This is good smoke.
Smokers break the nasty habit without gaining weight. Smoke Break. Revolutionary tablet. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the spinners.
Oh, yeah, I like that.
Oh, I'm looking forward to that game tonight. Don't screw up that HD, Channel 7, because I'm already thinking to when they have the announcer, and I'm going to tape it tonight and get this guy
right.
That does the announcements for the Pistons.
Sure.
He's fantastic. Chauncey!
Bailey! In the middle! Big Ben Wallace!
You think Detroit's going to do it tonight?
Yeah.
You don't think it's going back to the Staples Center?
No way. Super. Super to see the Lakers lose. I know, Buzz, you're dying to see the game.
Yeah.
But let's get right to the news so you can go home and fire up the HD. Fire up your HD.
Sure. Hi, Don and Mike. The billboards are already going up in the state of Virginia warning men not to have sex with underage girls. The state health department says it happens a lot. They say that in 1999...
Don, baby, how's it going? I don't think he's applicable.
Right. In 99 and 2000...
I mean, I don't think he can get the job done.
Applicable. In those 2 years...
Applicable. Applicable. Applicable.
Applicable. In that period, men over 18 were responsible for 219 births... among girls ages 13 and 14.
Oh, man, that's making me mad. I want to go out and get my shotgun right now.
You know, I wasn't going to buy the shotgun until, like, 14 or 15 when my daughters were 14 or 15.
You are the NRA, Mike.
Oh, my. I'm going to talk to you. You know what?
Winner!
I'm going to get closer to Wendell.
Yeah, you Winner!
Should. You should. So the new billboard campaign uses slogans like, isn't she a little young? And sex with a minor, don't go there. Of course, we saw that documentary American Holler.
Yeah.
It's kind of a different world in certain areas of Virginia.
The rules are different there.
And Kentucky. Yeah, it's a big state. It's a very big state.
Yeah, Virginia's got some nutty rules, like if you go down to Alabama.
Yeah.
A lot of the same rules. You know, Virginia's a big state, but it's got different parts.
How are you? Let's all go out and collect moss and mushrooms.
American Holler.
Yeah. They're also putting these slogans on posters and in bars and restaurants on napkins and coasters.
Aye.
Quoting one official, we encourage men to talk to their peers and discourage them from pursuing teenagers. What they're doing is against the law, end quote.
Why not...
I shagged a rotten baby, yeah.
Why not put them on urinal cakes? Remember, we once had a radio station somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Their promotion for us was in all the bars in their town.
Yeah, on Don and Mike. Don and Mike was on all the urinal cakes.
Yeah.
And I love that, urinal cakes. Those words don't go together.
Great with ice cream. Do these billboards apply to Nicole Kidman?
No, they do not.
Oh,
and never will.
Thanks for bringing up that movie.
Anytime. Nicole Birth.
Nicole Kidman has got a movie coming out very soon in which her husband is dead, and he comes back reincarnated as a 10-year-old boy.
Right.
And then she's got a scene where she's in the bathtub with him, and they're naked, and they're making out. And it's some people find it highly erotic.
And some people ought to register.
To vote? I'm already registered. I'm registered. I got the sign right in my front yard.
Have an offenders party.
I've got the sign in my front yard. Voted Republican, thinking about voting Democrat, really turned on by the Nicole Kidman scene with the kid.
Mm-hmm. People should
thinking
know.
About voting Democratic. Yeah, well, hey, listen.
You haven't committed yet?
May I just tell you this? I love being a wild card.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I had a discussion with Chris, my mailman, today.
Yes.
And he said something to me, and I don't even want to get on a whole political thing, because I'll probably vote for anybody but Bush. But okay. He said to me,
so what do you think?
You know, like, I'm talking to the mailman. Mm-hmm. It's like, what do you think? It ends up being politics.
I think you ought to put it in the slot.
And then he finally said to me, so you're not going to vote for Bush? I said, no, I don't think so. I don't dig the war in Iraq. I've never been given a good reason about that. Mm-hmm. And he said, well, what's Kerry going to do better?
Mm-hmm.
And that's where I didn't really have an answer. I said, well, you know, he said, do you think Kerry's going to get us out of Iraq? And that's when I said, hey, you know, maybe it's best that we just talk about NASCAR and about the mail.
Yeah, and I'll give you 2 hours after the show.
What?
About what Kerry's going to do better. Listen, it'll probably take me 2 hours to get through all of it.
I believe that my vote means nothing in the big scheme.
He's setting us up again.
However,
he's going back.
I know. No, I'm not going back.
He's positioning himself.
Your vote counts,
he's
Don.
Positioning himself.
No, I'm not going back.
He is positioning himself to vote for the eventual winner.
Ah.
That's what he does, ladies and gentlemen.
Yes.
I know it, and now you know it.
Stick with the winner.
No, Bush is an idiot. Bush is an idiot. What else do you want me to say? The guy's a dope. The guy's a dope.
Mm-hmm.
Watch him on TV. Did you watch him at the Reagan funeral? This is a good time for the United States. I want to say he was a good president.
You know what? I'm looking forward to the debates.
I really am.
Oh, yeah. I am really looking forward to the debates.
There's
the
show.
Because I really think this time it's going to be a little more spirited.
Mm-hmm.
All I know is that I'm out there.
You're available.
I'm available.
You're available for either side, right? Are you still available for either side? You're almost, I mean, you're saying a lot of things about Bush, but you're still,
they can
get you.
I'm leaning Democratic.
You know what happens when we say that? They start coming after you.
Yeah, they
the Republicans start coming at because unlike the
they bring gifts.
Unlike my friends in the Democratic Party who don't do anything for me.
Now what am I saying? Bush is a dope. I can't vote for that guy.
Yeah,
I don't care how many hats or stickers they bring me or shirts.
You know what that tells me?
What?
Next week we'll look for the Nader sticker on your car.
Well, gasoline prices have dropped for the first time this year. They're down by about 6 cents. Experts say it's because of a boost in gasoline production and a drop in oil prices. That it was that easy. Why didn't they just do that before?
Amen. This is a scam of all scams. That and here's the problem with this. If it had been an incremental raising of the gas prices, uh-huh. Where it was 10 cents a month or whatever,
right.
People could deal with it. But here's the thing. You got a lot of people who can't pay their mortgage. A lot of people live in paycheck to paycheck.
Mm-hmm.
And all of a sudden, when gas goes up $1 a gallon in a month,
mm-hmm.
People are looking at their budgets and they're saying,
ouch,
I can't afford to go anywhere.
Yeah, we raised it $1 and it took about a month. But, hey, big news, we're going to turn it down by 6 cents.
Yeah. Now, I still want somebody to explain to me why it costed $1 more a month ago.
Hey, is it true that if you have one of those hybrid cars, you can ride in HOV lanes?
Yeah, that's what I hear, yes. More and more.
I haven't gotten any confirmation on it.
I'll check. And, of course, it varies, I think, from state to state.
Like, if you have a Toyota Prius, can you ride in the HOV lanes?
You can, but I've also heard that if you buy a hybrid, you're an idiot.
Rob.
Yeah. You know, there's
that's a V8 Speedwagon.
Yeah, why conserve?
That's 8-cylinder Rob.
There is a funny-ass article in Rolling Stone magazine this month with Larry David about how Larry David has the label of being the environmental guy now.
Right.
Basically because he's driven a Prius on his TV show, Curb Your Enthusiasm. I guess he drives it in real life,
mm-hmm.
Right. But it's, read it. It's a real fast 2-page
right.
read.
Right.
He's funny as hell. He is funny as hell. And he ends up writing, he doesn't really care about the environment.
In real life, he commutes in a tour bus.
The only reason, the article states Larry David even got involved in the environment was because he had some type of skin cancer.
Oh.
It was something that was not bad, but it was something that was caused by our ozone layer.
Right.
And then the quote is something like, when you have money, you become a rich. Rhymes with Dick
mm-hmm.
Cheney, but starts with another letter.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're poor, and he, you know, he's so brilliant and funny. When you're poor, you're a poor schmuck.
Right.
When you're rich, you're a rich.
Mm-hmm.
So he said,
yeah, I guess I used to be a schmuck, and now all the people I'm friends with are just like me. Anyway, read it. He doesn't really give a crap about the environment. It's just, and the point in this is that even with the poor schmucks and the rich, he said the only thing that cuts him any slack now, because he is so incredibly rich, he's the Seinfeld guy,
right,
is that when he got this face cancer, which he's okay with, he said that's the only time people cut him slack. He got to a certain point where he had so much money, and it's obvious he can buy anything.
Right.
No one wanted to hear anything from him, so he even writes in this article, he milked the cancer thing.
Sure.
He knew he was going to be okay.
Because somebody likes the guy because he's got all that money.
Anyway, he didn't care about the environment, but he drives one of those hybrid cars.
A Prius.
And they are impossible to get.
And yeah, very difficult to get.
The national average is still over $2 a gallon, which brings us to Vice President Dick Cheney, who may have been caught in a lie with the help of some folks at the Pentagon. A company called Halliburton.
Sorry about that. That was me squeaking.
Halliburton, which used to be run by Cheney, got a $7 billion contract with the government to rebuild Iraq, and it got that contract without having to bid for it.
Please listen carefully.
Cheney has denied having anything to do with that. A new Pentagon report says he did, through his own chief of staff and other political appointees of the Bush administration.
You don't have to be an idiot to... I mean, you don't have to be an idiot not to know
right.
this. You don't have to be an idiot. But really, it's
Mike,
incredible.
I don't understand.
This Halliburton connection...
No, he's not retarded.
With Dick Cheney, it's as obvious as the day is long.
His company.
It's ridiculous.
I don't understand a word you're saying.
Oh, please.
In that case, just trust us.
Oh, you know what? Halliburton's in Houston. Do you get it now?
Houston?
Yeah, remember that wonderful city we were in?
It was an armpit of a city, yes. Yeah. And listen, guys, can I tell you something?
Mm-hmm.
I moderately understand what you're saying.
Yeah.
I'm just kind of kidding. I kind of half understand what you're talking
Good
about.
Enough.
Yeah, enough to fake it.
The White House is reportedly angry at Time magazine for publishing the whereabouts of the secret bunker that protected the vice president more than once after 9/11.
I don't blame him.
The White House says now anyone with a topographical map can find Site R under Raven Rock Mountain, 7 miles from Camp David in Maryland along the Pennsylvania border.
Way to go, Buzz.
Here you go, Buzz.
I hope you're happy now.
Tommy.
It's already out there. The Drudge Report quotes one White House official as saying, Time magazine would have revealed the secret location of Anne Frank if they knew it.
I love it when you quote the Drudge Report.
I know. And from our Homeland Insecurity Department.
Anne Frank.
This one's for folks.
Let's take a moment just to think about her.
Yeah, her diary.
Trying to get me to stop.
Put her on lover money.
Mm-hmm.
This story is for folks in Wichita and Sacramento and Portland and anywhere that expects a big city to be the target of a terrorist attack. Just revealed an Al-Qaeda plot to blow up a shopping mall in Columbus, Ohio. The suspect was arrested on the busiest shopping day of the year, the Friday after last Thanksgiving. The government says he's a follower of the guy who plotted to blow up the Brooklyn Bridge. This one's a 32-year-old Somalian who ran a cell phone store in Columbus. The reassuring news, he was caught thanks to government surveillance.
Mm.
And Al-Qaeda...
Just give me a moment.
To absorb that?
Yeah.
Cell phones?
Didn't he hate Anne Frank?
I don't know what his opinion is on Anne Frank.
On Anne Frank?
I guess he probably did.
And Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just trying to... Columbus, Ohio.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's like that's one of the cities that I would think I'd be flipped out. More so living there than living in Washington, D.C. If you really stop and think about the terrorists and what they could do, and trust me, I'm not giving in to them, you know, if you think this way.
Mm-hmm.
But... If I lived in a middle American city, not a major city, but a medium city, you know, there were 1 or 2 million people in Columbus?
Right.
About the same in Sacramento, a city like that, big enough to be a big city, but not big enough to be New York, L.A., or Chicago.
Right.
Or, in this case, Washington.
You know, we are still so vulnerable. I mean, it's truly amazing.
Yeah, we have a lot of cities that are major cities, but... We, as Americans, don't look at them necessarily as our major cities.
And they did a replay on 60 Minutes the other night of the chemical plants that are wide open.
Yeah.
Still unprotected. I mean, you hit the right kind of chemical plant with an explosion, and you know, you're looking at something like that Bhopal, India situation where, you know, thousands of people could be killed.
And so if you know anybody in Columbus, call them and tell them to move immediately. Based on the response today on the Don and Mike show.
No need, Don. They caught him.
Yeah, they're safe now.
Move anyway, just because it's Columbus. I mean, what the hell are you doing in Columbus, Ohio? You know who's there? Alan Goodman is there.
Hey, you might be attending the Ohio State University.
Well, some of us are more vulnerable than others. Al-Qaeda may have another American hostage. A statement on an Islamic website purportedly from Al-Qaeda threatened to kill an American hostage in Saudi Arabia unless authorities released jailed militants.
The statement said, quote, they have 72 hours from today or else we will sacrifice him.
Is this the guy whose driver's license and passport are up on the internet?
Johnson?
I believe so, yeah.
Gotcha. All right, one more before a break, bud.
You said they may have another hostage?
Right.
Well, they have another hostage.
They claim that they do. I mean, we have no way of knowing that for sure.
Well, I mean, but the story that was out yesterday was the story that they have another hostage. I'm not sure what his name is, but his last name is Johnson.
Is that
the guy we're talking about?
I'll double check. This story makes no reference to any individual by name.
Is there a vigil that they're having for the guy?
Yeah, they're tying yellow ribbons and everything. I mean, the guy is kind of a, maybe he worked for Lockheed Martin.
That's the guy, 49-year-old Paul Johnson.
Right. Paul Johnson.
So it is confirmed that is him.
All right, one more before a break, please, Buzz.
Okay, we're now in the busiest travel season of the year, and here's proof anything can happen. As if summer storms don't cause enough havoc, a U.S. Airways 737 veered off a runway in Pittsburgh yesterday after colliding with a big bird. The airline said it was a turkey. The airport says its people found a dead owl by the runway.
Wow.
There were 92 pretty unhappy travelers waiting in a terminal without their luggage for several hours after a flight that had already been delayed by the weather, and they were given no explanation for the delay.
Of course they weren't.
What have I always said about owls?
What have you said?
They're bad. They're evil. Stay away from owls. Kill them all.
Bats.
Rob!
And bats.
Rob, the snowy owl?
Yes.
Oh,
especially,
my.
We've almost succeeded.
The white owl?
Oh, the cigar?
No, white.
How do you feel about white owls?
I don't like any owls because birds should not be carnivores.
Rob.
Anything that can fly.
What about the eagle?
Eagle will talk.
Yeah, okay.
He's a national symbol.
You don't like the eagle?
I like an eagle, okay.
But eagle's a carnivore.
Yeah, but you see, an owl is tricky.
Chicken hawk is a carnivore.
Kill the chicken hawk.
Odd.
I'll let slide an eagle because it's a national symbol.
All these great theories.
Robins eat
worms. These are not theories. These are facts.
All these theories in the bubbling cauldron that is his brain.
I hate owls.
Something
flying around at night eating people.
Something else to hate.
Owls have never eaten people. Big dope.
Pecking out their
eyes.
I
see this, Rob. Tell me. They've never eaten. Owls have never eaten.
The owls are the symbol for my kids' school.
See, get them out of that school zone.
Right, because they're going to eat your kids.
That's right. If they don't eat, they'll certainly pick them up and fly them away.
Buzz, what is next?
A man gives his life for a safety tip for you.
Oh, there you go. Thank you, Buzz. Be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
Thank you, Merv.
The Don and Mike Show.
That's Merv Griffin, of course.
Now, even moister, the Don and Mike Show.
You check out the new Time Magazine. Time Magazine got one photographer on Air Force One. I know it's not Air Force One when Bush isn't on it, but it's the Air Force One plane.
Right, that's what they transported Reagan.
Brought the box back to California. And there are a bunch of pictures in there of all kinds of people.
Right.
And it's just interesting. I just forgot what I was going to say.
It's Merv Griffin.
Merv's there. Yeah, besides all of the touching pictures, and I wanted to make sure that I made the distinction, thank you, that there are pictures of Ron Reagan Jr. and of Patty and of Nancy and of all, and it's very tastefully done. And there's a picture of
Ron Reagan Jr. gave probably the best eulogy I think I've ever heard when he eulogized his father out in California.
And there's a picture of Nancy and Patty and Ron Reagan Jr. looking out of the window as the plane is going over Dixon, Illinois, and there's lots of shots of the casket, them touching the casket. And then there's one picture in particular where Merv, who is wearing a velour jogging suit
of
some type, and he's on Air Force One.
Why? What? I don't get it.
He is, now he's not cradling Nancy Reagan in his arms.
Right.
He's doing that thing. She's standing in front of him, and he's got his arms on her elbows as if to bring her towards him, to nuzzle on his bosom, on Merv's ample bosom.
Yes.
And when I'm reading Time Magazine, all these pictures are touching, whether you liked Reagan or you didn't like him.
Sure, right.
And it's just, as you look in your finger and you're turning the pages, you get to this one page, and it's Merv. It's a big-ass picture, too.
Wow. Right.
Of Merv.
Merv.
What the hell is he doing there? I mean, I think I know what he's doing there, but I don't want to think that's what he's doing there.
I hope not.
I mean, No, Rob, the shot is from the waist up, so I could not tell.
But Merv's wearing a jogging suit. That's the most fascinating part of that. Wearing a jogging suit, so I guess you didn't feel like a... Were they casual on the plane, or
maybe,
what?
No. Let me see. Like, the Ron Reagan Jr. just had on slacks and a shirt.
Okay, all right.
A wife beater.
I think most clothes...
just button down. You know, a button-down wife beater.
I think most clothing is uncomfortable for Merv.
Yeah, I think you're right. Hey, when I saw him in Palm Springs in the shopping mall, he was in a jogging shirt.
You are a show-off and a name-dropper.
And he had the Vish B.O.
The most touching picture in Time magazine is the one of Nancy in the hot pants.
Ladies and gentlemen, address the letters to Rob Spiewak.
I love hearing from the fans.
The only thing that would make that whole spread better
would
be right next to the picture of Merv. There was a picture of Nicole Kidman in the bathtub.
Oh,
you go with that kid. What's the name of that movie?
It's called Birth.
Thank you.
You guys can see it on vacation together.
We will. Hi, Buzz.
Hi, guys. Hi, this is an amazing story. Maybe the most amazing story of the day. A high power line fell onto a tractor trailer truck in the Tampa, Florida area.
Oh, you said it's a high power line.
High power line.
Oh, high power.
Yeah, high voltage.
Okay. High power.
Right.
Gotcha.
And suddenly, after this cable fell on this truck, fire was ripping through this truck full of citrus seeds. The driver knew he had to get out of the flaming truck to avoid a fiery death. But when he stepped out of the truck, he stepped into a puddle and was electrocuted. The man gave his life for this safety tip. When you're in a vehicle that's attacked by a power line, jump out. Don't step out. Stepping out just completes the circuit through your body. If your vehicle's not on fire, experts say your best bet is to simply drive away or call 911.
That was like a feel-good.
Thank you for that.
I thought so.
Thank you for that tip of the day, Buzz.
And when you're anytime around power lines, always remember Joe Jackson, not Shoeless Joe Jackson, the singer.
Yeah.
Hey, stepping out.
That's right.
And now here is a tape.
Now, Charlie, how does it go?
I remember Joe. Righty tighty, lefty loosey.
Right.
And then they electrocute themselves.
Jump, don't step.
Right.
Long-legged babes are less likely than short women to have heart attacks. That's the finding of a new study from Bristol University.
Baby!
They say that age, obesity, income level, and smoking still have a lot to do with a woman's chance of heart disease, but now they say the length of a woman's legs and torso also make a difference.
Buzz?
Yes?
Where does Paul McCartney's current wife stand in this, if you pardon the pun, in this survey?
Where does she stand?
You know, she's got a peg leg.
I'd say about 50-50.
But she's not eating meat.
And they say this thing about leg length, the same thing is true for a woman's chances for diabetes, high cholesterol, and lung problems. They say...
So the ladies with great gams have that advantage, too. Huh?
Yes, they do. They say every 4 inches of leg length makes a 16% difference on your chances of getting heart disease.
Wow.
Roll those dice, baby.
Yeah.
Roll those dice. Put on those nice stockings.
Salute, Janet Reno.
In sports, from the I Don't Get It department, baseball Chicago's White Sox have adopted a new mascot, a fuzzy green and yellow dinosaur. The tie-in... They're calling him Southpaw, apparently a reference to the team's home on the south side of Chicago.
Oh, my God.
What happened? You know, didn't the White Sox used to have a guy like the Mets guy?
They've had a couple, and you know, they've failed also.
The Mets guy
is this one will.
Is the big baseball.
Does Cubs have a mascot at all?
As far as I know, they do not.
Right.
But the White Sox, at least back when Buzz and I worked in Chicago, back when the White Sox wore the uniforms with shorts and the big gigantic
collars
on them.
Ugliest uniforms in the history of baseball.
They had a mascot, much like the New York Mets. Have you seen the ESPN spots where the
mascot?
The mascot is driving home with his wife, and on the radio the song is like, meet the Mets, come on and greet the Mets. The White Sox used to have a guy like that, just a guy in a giant baseball suit.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's a dinosaur.
Now it's a your green and yellow dinosaur.
That makes perfect sense.
Yeah, you know, we don't have the greatest mascot in the history of baseball, and it wasn't even Major League.
Mm-hmm.
Prince Willie.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
And incidentally, here's a few words from the new White Sox
mascot.
Yeah, and what was his name again, Buzz?
Southpaw.
Southpaw, here he is.
And this you should not do. You should not say he's an animal. Should not say he's Jacko. I'm not a jackal.
You're not a jackal.
Southpaw. I forgot that.
He loves the kids.
Finally, crooks are still stupid. In the Philadelphia suburb of Norristown, PA, a man with a gun handed the teller at a small bank branch a note that read, "Give me all your hundreds and fifties fast." They obeyed his orders to the letter. And since they only had one $50 bill on hand at the time, that's all he got. And then he got arrested. I'm Buzz Burbank.
Did you make that up?
No, it's true.
Okay.
On the Don and Mike Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
No, it can't be over.
Yes, it is, Mike.
No way.
Please go to PattonOzWaltz.com to buy Patton's new comedy CD. And thanks to Rachel for love and money, for love or money.
Yes, she's a hottie.
She is. Tomorrow on the show, some lady, a psychic, who has recipes from dead celebrities.
Mm.
Yeah, and Battle of the BAs when we play Match Game 2004.
All right.
That's on tomorrow's episode.
Yay.
Please stay tuned now for our buddies Ron and Fez coming up on WJFK at Live 105.
All right, fools.
That's it. We got to go. We'll see you tomorrow. Good day to you,
Good
sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
Good day to you, sir.
You.
Nancy and Hot Pep.
Baby.
Stretch before exercising.
Get me a spoon.
Till we meet again. This is Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.